This is PFW in Progress.
Look awful. Those clothes. Those shoes. You smell.
Do you realize where I've been since yesterday? They beat me up and stole my clothes. Those men wanted to have sex with me.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem.
Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed.
Paul Perillo.
Happy New Year!
Oh, well, that's kind of you, son. And a Happy New Year to you, too. Could I offer either of you two gentlemen a wee jolt of Irish whiskey to usher in the new year?
Beef jerky?
Sorry, thank you very much. No, it gives me the wind, something terrible.
Oh. And Andy. And Andy?
A jacuzzi, sir.
See, man, I knew y'all was man. You can jacuzzi nobody.
It's a whirlpool bath, sir. I think you'll enjoy it.
Andy Hart.
Hey, bubbles, man. Say, man, when I was growing up, we want jacuzzi. We had to fart in the tub. This is bad.
Some guy named Tom.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Ha 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 ha! Thank you for correcting my English, which stinks. Ha 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 ha! Keep jerky time.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm 24 years old and from a small, miserable little mining town you probably never heard of. The only thing I got going for me in this whole big wide world is this body, this face, and what I got up here. I don't do drugs. I've saved $42,000 and it's in T-bills, earning interest. I figure I got 3 more years on my back. I've enough to retire on.
PFW in Progress.
Looking good, Billy Ray!
Feeling good, Lewis!
Yes, PFW in Progress. We're feeling good. The Patriots are feeling good. Everyone's feeling good on this Wednesday. Coming to you Wednesday this week. If you want to give us a drop us a line, it's webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Tom Casale along with Paul Perillo. After probably the Patriots' most impressive victory of the season, I would say their best overall performance of the year. How about it, Paul?
I would certainly agree. I thought it was one of those games that was close and score only. I thought the Patriots were in control from start to finish. We all looked at each other and declared the game over when it was still scoreless, which we haven't really done in a long time, something we used to do all the time. I thought, given the opponent, given the venue, and given the stakes, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Tom. I thought it was the most impressive performance of the year.
And, you know, the Patriots go back to the spread offense like we thought they would against a team that's strong up the middle. We talked about the matchup all last week. Jacksonville content to run the football, throw the short passes, and, you know, as I said on the TV show, I had a revelation this week that in order to beat the Patriots, it either has to be a fluke upset like the Dolphins did that 1 year, or they have to have a good coach with a pretty good team, because Bill Belichick's just going to outcoach these guys.
Well, there's two ways, and I think in terms of forgetting the fluke upset part, you know, like the 2-11 Dolphins that you referenced.
Right.
That can, you know, that can happen to anybody at any time. You know, you never know. It almost happened with Detroit this year. But in order to beat the Patriots, I think you need to have one of two things. You need to have either an extremely gifted defense that can get after the quarterback at all times. Mm-hmm. Not we're going to rely on our front four to get pressure. I'm talking about finding ways to get to Brady. And consistently doing it. Mm-hmm. Denver did it in the playoffs last year. Miami did it down in Miami a couple of weeks ago. Blitzing, not blitzing, doing different schemes, whatever it takes, you need to get in Brady's face on a consistent basis and get him out of his comfort zone.
Right.
That's one way you can win. And the other way would be what I would say the less conventional and the less safe route would be just to completely outscore him. You have such a good offense that you outscore the Patriots, and that's not a tactic that I would suggest, given the fact that I think the Patriots' defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've seen some high-scoring games. I think for the most part, the Colts did that this year. They outscored the Patriots in that game. But I don't think that's the best way to go about it.
Nope. And the Patriots played a clean game, no turnovers, only one sack. against a very good Jacksonville defense that had only been giving up 9.1 points per game at home. The Patriots almost tripled that with 24 points. And as you said, the final score, was they got, it got a little tight there at the end with the quick score, and then they got the ball back, you know, with pretty good field position. But other than that 5 minute span, the Patriots pretty much controlled the football game.
Yeah, it was, and I don't want to diminish what Jacksonville did either. I don't think it was necessarily a fluke. I just think it was one of those things that Jacksonville made a couple of plays, and you know, Bill talked about it after the game. He felt very good about the overall performance, short of a couple of specific individual plays, and Jacksonville made some, you know, the people are going to talk about the run by Jones-Drew, but I'm looking at more of the long pass to Wilford and the long pass to Jones for the touchdown, especially the one to Jones, because that can't happen.
Right.
You can't let that happen with a 10-point lead in whatever, what was it, about 4 or 5 minutes, three minutes left? I don't think you can let that happen if you're Ellis Hobbs in that situation. But give Jacksonville credit. They made some plays. They found themselves 55 yards away from a win with a minute 55 left, which is plenty of time. And the Patriots, you know, were able to close the door with Jarvis Green coming up with a big play.
Yep. And, you know, you have to wonder why Jacksonville didn't take some more shots to Matt Jones with his height advantage over Ellis Hobbs. As I said to you, Paul, they were playing the Patriots like they were the Colts. And that's what makes, to me, the Patriots so good, is they're like a chameleon. They adapt to whoever they're playing, and they play to the other team's weaknesses.
Yep.
And Jacksonville...
That's the simplest way to put it.
And Jacksonville plays the same every week. Now, the way they played against the Patriots, if that was the Colts, they'd have killed them. Because they would have kept everything in front of them. They would have made Manning go down the field. They would have ran the ball down their throats. But you can't take that same approach with the Patriots. I mean, Vince Wilfork or no Vince Wilfork, you ain't going to run the ball down their throat. It's just not going to happen.
Right. And that's the key. And you said, you know, what makes the Patriots so good, you know, their ability to change and be chameleon-like. I totally agree. And I'll tell you one thing that I'm getting sick and tired of listening around the league, and just this is not necessarily from the Patriots perspective, just as a fan perspective, of these coaches, how do they these guys ascend to these positions with the philosophy of, as well, we just do what we do, and
right,
and they stopped us. Well, how,
yeah, I think their defense.
If I'm an owner, how can I hire a guy like that?
I don't understand it. I mean, and I asked Del Rio the question, you know, with some venom. I said, every single team that's beaten the Patriots this year says the key is to get Tom Brady out of his rhythm early, to hit him, to get to him, and you guys did none of that. Did you think about any adjustments or anything? And he just sat there with that loser look on his face with there's different ways to attack him. Everyone has a different kind of a way to do it. We do it our way. Well, see, to me, Belichick would look at film,
right,
say this is what works against this team and do it. Del Rio looks at film and says, well, we'll just go with what we do. That's the difference.
And I agree. And if I'm an owner, I don't pay a guy to be the coach to come in and implement his system and do what he does.
Right.
I pay a guy to coach to come in and do what he thinks is going to work best
against
another team.
And I think that's why you see some of the better matchups with the Patriots is against Denver.
I mean, seriously,
Tom. Shanahan's the same type of coach.
Couldn't you or I go to a number of coaching clinics and learn, say, the West Coast offense?
Yeah.
And learn the cover to the Tampa 2 defense, so you know everything there is to possibly know about these schemes. And then just say, okay, I'm ready to be a head coach.
Week.
That's what I'm going to run.
So, and I found it comical because I was looking at our releases today and one of the teams that has given up 20, there's three teams that have given up 20 touchdowns this year. The Patriots are one of them, I think. Is that correct? There's some stat like that, but the one.
Yeah, they had only allowed 17 touchdowns going into the game.
Okay, so
now they have allowed 20.
Okay, so them, Baltimore, and Minnesota. So I'm thinking to myself, see, what Minnesota does must work against some teams, but if you play them like the Patriots played them, like the Rams play them this week, the Rams will kill them. Because they'll just throw all day on them. So I guess it just depends on who you play that week when you're a team like that, who never switches up. See, to me, I'm with you. I'd rather have the ability to be different, to be flexible, and that's why the Patriots are tough, especially this time of year.
Now, sure. Are there times that when you're like Bill Belichick and you change what you do, are there times that you might outfox yourself and maybe get out of something that you maybe do better than something else? Because let's face it, even though you have the ability to change – there's something that the Patriots do better than others.
Right.
Probably, you know, relying on Brady is probably a better way to go than, say, pounding the ball between the tackles 35, 40 times. But the way I look at it is, for the amount of times that you keep an opponent guessing and off guard, that far outweighs the time that maybe, well, maybe we got away from what we do best a little bit here, and that cost us. I think that the former is going to outweigh the latter.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at that game, Paul. From the very start, Belichick had Hawkins and Harrison at the line, and he said to Del Rio, if you want to throw it, go ahead. But I don't think you're going to throw it. I think you're going to run on first down every time. And he did.
You know what's funny is I wanted to ask Bill this question, and I'm not sure he would have answered it because it's kind
I'll say no.
Well, it's kind of into game planning thing. You know, I'm going to be writing about Rodney Harrison this week. He obviously came back and had a big impact in the game. I wanted to ask if the reason that he was employed at the line of scrimmage as often as he was because it's Harrison and it's things that in his individual skill set, or if it was game plan related specific to the Jaguars.
Right.
And I'm not sure he would have answered that. Maybe I'll ask tomorrow and see if he doesn't answer it tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either.
But it was a very big win for the Patriots. They wrapped up the AFC East. That's all over. They're in the playoffs. Now it's just a matter of who do they play, what seed do they get. It's looking like the Jets or Denver are the most likely teams. But as I said to you, Paul, the way this NFL season's going, one of those teams will probably lose and throw everything up in the air. But those are two teams that have beaten the Patriots this year. We all know the problems with Denver, yet you and I believe that's the team.
If I'm the Patriots,
for the Patriots,
if I'm the
right
Patriots,
now.
I want to see Denver.
I agree.
I don't think Denver has a sniff of coming here with a rookie quarterback who is, you know, it's not like he's a rookie quarterback who's played really well. He hasn't played really well.
Right. And he's, you know what his problem is too? Like, you say, well, last time they came here, Jake Plummer didn't really do much, and that's true. But there's two things that happened.
But
in that
he didn't
game.
Do anything
right.
wrong.
Right. He didn't do anything wrong, and Cutler's a gunslinger. And two, that's back when the Denver defense, we were talking about,
dominant.
This is the best defense in the league. Now they just stink. I mean, anybody can score on them now.
I mean, we like to look at things from the Patriots' perspective, you know, and it's always, you know, dumb, stupid turnovers. But how do you think the Bengals feel?
Ugh.
The Bengals turned the ball over and cost them opportunities to score, and then they miss an extra point with the game on the line. I mean,
that team, you know what? I always used to say it about the old Houston Oilers, Paul.
They'll find a way to lose.
They find way, right. They find a way to lose. And this team, for some reason, it's not mentally tough. And I know that has nothing to do with what happened Sunday, but it just seems to happen to teams like that. I mean, an extra point.
Am I assuming you're talking about the old Houston Oilers as in the Warren Moon,
yes,
Brennan Schutz?
The old Houston
Oilers to me are Dan Pastorini and Billy White.
Well, I know
Johnson.
They had the same stigma to them. But those Oilers used to go to the playoffs. You know, they blew the lead to Buffalo. It just seemed like when things started going bad to them, they could never stop them. And it's the Bengals are one of those teams that, you know, here they are. They have a chance to tie it. And what happens? The snap goes through the holder's hands.
I mean, you could make an argument that the Patriots, I mean, those Oilers teams of the late 70s, when they used to lose to the Steelers every year in the AFC Championship game, you can make an argument they were the second best team in football.
Yeah.
For, you know, a 3-year span, and they won nothing.
And that's the way it used to be. And a lot of crazy things in the NFL this week. I mean, we're watching the Cowboy highlights right now. I got an email.
A lot of emails ripping you, which is nice to see.
There's a lot of them?
Yeah, there was a few.
I don't believe it. Who's ripping me other than PJ?
I think PJ took a shot at you.
Yeah, PJ did for the Cowboy game because we argued.
I believe someone else did too, which was nice.
Eh, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, now since we talked, let's get into PJ's email here. He says, yo, guys, what's up? Before I get into the Pats, I need to gloat a little bit. I told Tom that the Eagles were going to move the ball on that weak Dallas defense. Didn't you say the Cowboys would win 42-7? Didn't you also say the Cowboys receivers were going to eat up the Eagles' D-backs? Can you give my man, Lito Shepard, some props, please? I am just playing with you, Tom. I respect your football knowledge, and I am feeling really good after this weekend. Now on to the Pats. I'm very happy with the Patriots' performance on Sunday. That is the exact recipe they need to use if they want to win in the playoffs. A dominating defense with Tom Brady making enough plays to win. I am shocked that they stuffed Jacksonville's offense even without Wilfork. Do you guys have any news concerning the injury? Also, I ripped Tom a bit earlier, but I have to give him his due with Dave Thomas. What a catch. I am looking forward to this weekend, but I do not envy you guys. You have to put up with Andy talking about Vince Young all week. Good luck. But last but not least, if you haven't already, can you discuss the different playoff possibilities for the Pats, who they will probably be playing and who they possibly could be playing later, guys? And we did kind of touch on that a little bit. As far as the Cowboys go, they just stink. I mean, they showed up. They got whooped in every area. I thought that having a chance to win the division at home, they would come out like gangbusters, but there's obviously more problems to that team than we know. And I got a feeling there's going to be some house cleaning there. I don't think it's going to be Bill Parcells' decision. I think he's going to be let go at the end of the year. I think Terrell Owens will be let go at the end of the year.
See, I would be surprised if both of those things happen.
See, I'm not.
If Parcells goes, I would say that T.O. won and he stays.
I don't think either will be back.
Because I think you have to get rid of T.O. I don't think
But I just think there's too many guys that Jerry Jones likes that are out there, like Fisher and Petrino that he can bring in. And I just think they're going to sever ties. That's just my opinion. As far as the Patriots go, we don't really have anything on the Wolfork injury, do we?
No, and I would be stunned to see him play Sunday. Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. He's not playing on Sunday. No, I think those guys that are injured will rest.
In terms of the playoff possibilities, Tom talked about them earlier. I mean, it's certainly shaping up to be the Jets or Denver. They both have relatively safe games, safe opponents at home.
My favorite was Salad.
They win, they're in, both of them. And then it would matter what happened with the Miami-Indy game. The Patriots could conceivably move up to 3. And then they would play 6 instead of 5. But no way of knowing that now. A lot of things need to happen. And then there's a whole host of other possibilities. There is a possibility that Tennessee, Jacksonville, Kansas City, or Cincinnati could all be somewhere in the mix with those playoff spots. But no way of knowing that now.
Yeah, there's just...
I want to know why do you get props because David Thomas had a good game this week? Just
out of
curiosity.
I said he was going to go to the Pro Bowl.
I mean, I thought, you know, he was kind of everybody's
I think he's better
favorite.
Than Ben Watson. I think he's going to be better than Ben Watson.
I think he was everybody's favorite guy in training camp,
if
I remember. I'm just giving you the needle a little bit, not PJ.
No,
I'm just wondering why you get the credit for Dave Thomas.
Because I was yipping and yapping earlier in the year how he'll be better than Ben Watson in 2 years. That I think that's probably why. And now this week he made a nice catch, so... They're on the Dave Thomas bandwagon, but if he drops one, I'm sure I'll get. Hey, remember when Tom said David Thomas was going to be better than Ben Watson? Don't think so. Those emails will be coming in a week or two. James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. He says, for the second week in a row, the Patriots did not turn the ball over, which is true. It looks like the team finally has gotten the handle on the turnover bug that plagued them this season. Let's hope we do not see the resurgence in the playoffs. Take away that fluke play where he got over half his 131 yards of rushing total on the 74-yard TD run and a 13-yard gain on a draw play late in the game when the Patriots defense was playing the pass. Maurice Jones-Drew would have only had 44 yards on 17 carries for an average of 2.58. We don't do that here.
Why don't we just take away the rest of the carries, too?
Let's
and then he would have had no carries for no yards.
Let's take away Maroney's run late in the game, and then Tom Brady's the leading rusher for the New England Patriots, because he was the leading rusher over your guys' man, Corey Dillon. Tom Brady had the same amount of carries and one more yard than Dillon before Maroney broke that run. So we'll just say Jacksonville was all up trying to, you know, there was a crease. Maroney got through. That happens late in the game when you're desperate. So we'll take that run away.
Now, I will grant the numbers. I will grant some extenuating circumstances, obviously, on the long touchdown run where he's knocked down. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, oh, that's a fluke play. That's a once in a life. Well, that's the second time this year it's happened to the Patriots. So at some point, I think the defense needs to have some accountability. That was a bad play. Tully Bantakane was right there.
And a smart play by Jones-Drew.
And he watched Jones-Drew get up off his off the ground right in front of him, and then he never put his hands on him until he was all the way up, and then he let him go.
Yeah.
So that's a bad play, too. I mean, yes, it's not a conventional 74-yard run, but even if it was, we'd still be saying, take that away, because that's the way we look at it.
Right, and I agree that I think overall their rush defense played well, especially
excellent.
Without Wilfork.
Excellent, and with Fred Taylor out, that's what I expected.
But,
I didn't think Maurice Jones-Drew could hurt them.
But as you and I think we were both impressed with Jones-Drew, how
very
tough
impressed.
He ran. And I'll tell you what, I saw he came in, he was at the podium at the press game, at the post-game press conference. This guy's head barely got over the podium. I've never seen a guy that small, and he must be one tough SOB.
He runs with power for a guy that size. He ran, absolutely ran over Teddy Bruschi on two different occasions, and I was very surprised with the power that he ran with. But, you know, with Fred, like I said, with Fred Taylor out, I expected the Patriots' run defense to be sound, and it was.
Yeah, and like we both said, I think I was impressed with the run defense, and I was impressed with Jones-Drew, even though he didn't get a lot of yards other than the big run just because he was tough inside. But I agree with you. He's not going to make a living in the NFL carrying it 25 times a game. They need that other guy there with him because he's just too small. Andy in Sioux City, we got a ton of emails. Everyone's pumped up with the big win. He says, I think I recognize that team that was out there on Sunday. They look like the Patriots of old. There were many players that stepped up their game on Sunday, but I want to mention three in particular. David Thomas made some spectacular plays, the TD catch, and also the other long run where he broke tackles and didn't even fumble, like a certain other tight end seems to do. I know it is one game, but man, I hope he starts the rest of the way. See what I mean? The offensive line. I thought the pass blocking overall was very good, and Brady had the time he needed most of the day. Finally, what can you say about Tom Brady? This guy played his heart out and did whatever he had to in order to win. No Pro Bowl for Tom? What a joke. He has done more with less than any other quarterback in the league this year. Without Brady, there is no way the Patriots have 11 wins right now. I hope the Pats get another shot at the Jets. It won't even be close if they play with the heart they did on Sunday. And that's Andy from Sioux City.
Yeah, I don't like the only thing. I mean, you're not going to find too many bigger Tom Brady fans than me, but you know, I don't like the whole how many wins would they have without him. I mean, I think, you know, how many wins would Indy have without Peyton Manning? How many wins would, you know, fill in the blank? There's a lot of, how many wins would San Diego have without LaDainian Tomlinson? I don't think there'd be
yeah,
too many.
Yeah, there's a couple of elite players in the league that you, I mean, you could say, well, if Michael Vick isn't there, they would still win because maybe Matt Schaub is better. But there's a couple of guys, like you said, your Mannings, your Palmers, your Brady's were, they're the best in the league. They're the
that's
best
why.
At what they do.
Right. Yeah. That's why they're the best in the league.
And, you know, Brady, the guy's amazing. He gets killed. He gets back up. He hits passes. But I will say, you know, one thing we're talking about how to beat the Patriots, one of the things I think you need is the quick edge rusher. Like, Jacksonville has defensive ends that are pretty good, but they're the bigger kind of defensive ends that are good at stuffing the run. And I think the problem the Patriots run into this year is that the two top seeds have the kind of defenses that can hurt them. You got Merriman, you got Terrell Suggs, you got teams that send pressure, some blitzing, some not. And I think that's the problem they'll face in the playoffs is because they'll have to go through both those teams.
Yeah.
And if they can beat both those teams, there's not enough money in the world for me not to bet the Patriots in the Super Bowl because that'll be one heck of a feat if they can do that. Because in my opinion, they're running into a bit of a bad luck this year because I think if the Colts and Bengals were near the top like they were last year, the Patriots could beat those teams. I just the Ravens and the Chargers both kind of have those quick kind of edge rushers, like you said, to get in Brady's face and rattle him, and I don't think Jacksonville really has that.
Yeah, and then when you sit there and you have that scheme that they try to just – because I thought they actually got a lot of pressure. It just doesn't manifest itself when you're taking a lot of three- and five-step drops and the ball's getting out. Even if you're winning your individual battle, you're not getting enough pressure to affect the play. And that's why I think that the Jags would have been better served to do something different because that would have allowed – that would have forced perhaps Brady to do some different things. And I always find it amazing. They were content to do the – you know, they talked about it after the game, dink and dunk, you know, throughout the day. The Patriots were – and Jacksonville, it took them the better part of three quarters before they finally adjusted to that. We talked about it in the first half, Tom. Those guys were just wide open, unattended, going across the field with no one around him. And then we finally, it was like midway through to late in the third quarter where we finally said, well, at least Jacksonville finally seems to have gotten in the same area code as the receivers. Now they're still making catches, but at least they're getting tackled right away because it was just bad defense there for a while in the first half. The Patriots were making them look silly.
Yeah. the guys were wide open across that. But, and the one thing, and I have to give Ron Jaworski credit for pointing this out, on ESPN, he said that Jacksonville really struggles defending the tight end.
Jaws.
And I thought maybe with Watson out, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
And that's a product of all the safeties they've lost.
Yeah.
You know, Donovan Darius is out for the year. Deion Grant went down early in the game and didn't come back.
Mike Peterson at linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of that, and that doesn't surprise me. You're probably about your fourth and fifth safeties deep. You know, you got Gerald Sensabaugh out there. I mean, who's he covering? We saw what happened to him last year in that Ben Watson play in the playoffs.
And you know, he was the guy that Thomas ran over.
Yeah.
I saw the replay. That Sensabaugh again, that guy stinks.
Absolutely. And he was. You do remember the play in the playoffs. That was him.
That was him. And, yeah, it's like the guy said at the end for Jacksonville in their post-game stuff. It's just there's something, it's not there. Something's not there for them. You know, you look at them, they got a pretty good team, and I think maybe it's the coach, because we all think if you put Belichick on Jacksonville, they'd have beaten the Patriots.
Well, I was, you know, like I said, I thought it was the best Patriots performance of the year. And I thought the game was great. I thought it was a very entertaining game. There were big plays made. Mm-hmm. There was excitement right down to the end. Thought we were going to have another Tuck rule play, but kind of further cementing my feelings that's a fumble no matter what. And,
right.
And let me state unequivocally, I thought that Garrard fumbled on that play.
Right, but you were talking about the Tuck rule.
Much like I thought that Tom Brady fumbled, and I will maintain that I think that Tom Brady fumbled.
Here's what I want to do. I've been meaning to do this for a couple of weeks, and I'm glad you brought this up, Paul. The game that the Patriots beat Carolina in at the final game of the year, where they won the Super Bowl, you know what I'm talking about, Paul?
Yeah, that was Carolina's 1-15 year.
Yes, I know this game very well because some friends of mine had a ton of money on it. At the end of the half, Chris Wanky has the same type of fumble that Tom Brady had. Now, I don't remember who picked it up. It might have been Otis Smith who returned it for a touchdown. And it was reviewed and it was called a fumble. If anybody has that game on tape, go back and watch it and let us know how close that was to Brady's throw. Because I know they reviewed it because they said his arm was going forward, but they kept it as a fumble. And ESPN, and nobody ever brought that up that year. But if you have that game on tape, take a look at it and let us know.
OTS, Missouri.
I agree with Paul. I thought the Wanky one was a fumble. I thought the Brady one was a fumble. I thought the Garrard one was a fumble.
They were talking about with Brady how he had the ball up and then he brought it back down, which constitutes this quote-unquote Tuck rule. Okay. Well, Garrard did the same thing. He had the ball up, and then he started to run with it. And then he had the ball up again, poised to throw it. And before, in my opinion, before he really started forward with the ball, he was hit. And then the momentum of Green's hit, I thought, knocked the arm forward, and then the ball came loose. I don't think he was throwing the ball. I think the momentum put the arm forward, which means, in my opinion, Garrard fumbled, and the play was properly called. My only question would be, explain to me the nuances. Now, I know it wasn't the same exact play, but explain the nuances of that rule that allowed you to call what Brady did an incomplete pass and what Garrard did a fumble, because, in my opinion, the principles of what I was explained way back in that snowball game were very similar to the principles that happened in this game. And believe me, there was no one happier than me that it was maintained and called a fumble because we wanted no part of overtime on Christmas Eve. We wanted to get out of there.
Somebody happy.
Woo!
I had a ton of money on the Patriots -3. If that fumble goes, I'm in big trouble. But no, I agree with you. They're all fumbles. I've said it here before. We all know that Brady fumbled. Just admit it and say you got away with one and won a Super Bowl. That's fine. Fans can do that.
Sure. I say it all the time.
Philip from Nova Scotia.
Philip!
Hey guys, Merry Christmas. People keep.
Sorry, Tom. It was a different Philip.
Phil's in Austin.
Well, you look like you were going towards something. I was giving you a chance. A lot of people are saying Merry Christmas to us, and Christmas is over. It's Happy New Year now. Is it just me, or has this been a crazy year for making picks? Colts losing to the Texans? Who would have picked the Texans to win, especially after last week? And Dallas getting destroyed at home by the Eagles?
Well, that one really got me by surprise.
Yeah, and the Chargers, the only dominant team this year. Are the Chargers the only dominant team this year, or is what the Pats are doing this year the new dominant? Well, I don't know what the Pats are doing that's dominant.
What does that mean?
And I don't think the Chargers are dominant either.
No, I don't think there is a dominant team, and I certainly wouldn't put, even though San Diego's won, 9 in a row?
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't put them in the dominant category, not when you need you know, 30-yard touchdown passes as time is running out to win. It's funny, you look at the, if there was a game, see, I kind of go against the, what a lot of people are talking about. Oh, if you had seen Houston play last week, how could you have predicted them to beat Indianapolis? Well, it's, to me, it's the exact opposite. When you see a team play that badly and that, with that little life, that's exactly when you kind of jump on board that team and say, they can't be that bad. They have to have some pride. They're going to play better.
Unless they've just given up for the year.
I'm not going like I'm not going to pretend to say I thought they were going to beat Indianapolis. I didn't pick that, and I was stunned. Absolutely stunned. But I was not surprised to see them play a much better game.
Well, because they couldn't have played any worse than
exactly.
They did here.
And everybody, Tom, has some pride. All professional teams have an ounce of pride.
Unless you're the Raiders.
Unless you're the Raiders and you just don't have any offense.
You've given up a long, long time.
But even them, Tom, they've given up and they can't win games, but they play competitively most weeks.
Right, but now their defense is just tired, I think. I think there was a 3 or 4 or 5 week span where their defense was keeping them in it. But when your defense is on the field the entire year, by week 14 and 15, it's just going to be dog tired.
Yeah.
At this point. I mean, they can't even get a first down. So that's, I tell you what, man, the Jets lose to them. They don't deserve to get into the playoffs under any scenario. It should be lose to Oakland out of the playoffs, in my opinion. Glenn chiming in. He said, let's not get ahead of ourselves. If things stay the same, we will have to play Denver. Denver, for whatever reason, continues to be a team that gives us fits. Is it Shanahan? I don't know. But let's just take this one game at a time. I will take our chances with San Diego and Baltimore. Hope Baltimore can beat Indy. Again, Indy is a bad matchup, especially in Indianapolis, as I think we match up better with them, but Denver mentally is starting to become an issue.
So say that again. He wants to play, Denver's the first game, okay?
Then he wants to play Baltimore. No, I hope Baltimore can beat Indy.
So that would be in the championship game.
Yeah.
So you skipped a game in the middle.
No, he said, I'll take our chances with San Diego
okay. And
Baltimore. Hope Baltimore can beat Indy.
Well, here's where I would differ. I would rather have Baltimore lose to Indy and play Indy.
I don't think there's any way the Patriots would lose to the Colts the next time they play. I really don't.
No chance.
To be honest with you, I don't think there's a chance the Colts are going to win a game in the playoffs. Who are they going to play?
The whole key with the Colts, it's so simple, is... You know, it's just something as simple as the coin toss is huge. Because if they fall behind, there's an unbelievable amount of pressure on that offense. And playoffs, pressure, and Manning have not been good.
No.
Not been a good combination. No. I would relish the opportunity to play the Colts.
Yeah,
in the playoffs compared to Baltimore or San Diego.
The other thing about, Baltimore kind of gets swept under the rug, but they're playing pretty good. You know, that to go into Pittsburgh, and I know Pittsburgh hasn't had a great season, but that's kind of that
trap. We all thought
game.
Pittsburgh was going to win that game.
And they didn't just beat them. They whooped them. They whooped them good. And it's like I said to Paul earlier upstairs, the one thing that scares me about Baltimore more than San Diego, I think San Diego has more overall talent, but Steve McNair is a winner. We always talk about Tom Brady being a winner. You want to talk about a winner. Steve McNair, when you get him in the postseason, now I agree with Paul. At the beginning of the year, I didn't think he'd make it through the season.
I can't believe he's here. The number one reason why I was wrong about the Ravens, is I didn't think there was any chance that he would make it this far.
Right.
He only missed one game,
Yeah, that's when Bowler came in. But if you get McNair in the playoffs now, he's dangerous because that guy can lead a team. So Baltimore kind of scares me a little bit. I know a lot of other people aren't.
He can throw. He can do some things running. He'll pick his spots. He can run with some power and plow his way for first downs.
Right.
Now, I know that obviously the Patriots have a lot of experience playing against him, and they've generally beaten McNair in the big games, but he's a guy, he's tested. He's
right.
One of those seasoned guys.
Whereas San Diego may have the better overall team, but now you're talking about Phillip Rivers. Maybe the Patriots confuse him, and it's one of those, they get back and forth.
You talk about that, 8-9 men at the line of scrimmage defenses. You got to figure you'd see against San Diego.
Yep, there's no question about that. Alex coming in. He says, hello, fellas. Hope you had a nice Christmas. I've only seen Baltimore once this season against San Diego, and even though I know they have a stout defense, I don't have any clear idea of how this team plays. Do you think they are a legitimate threat in the playoffs? It would seem like they're going to have to play the Colts. We were just talking about that. I think Baltimore will rip through the Colts.
Why are we talking about Baltimore or the Colts? I mean, can we get our ducks in a row here? That's three games.
We're already in a championship game.
you know, here's the thing. Baltimore, if you believe in the old adage, Tom, that it takes being able to kind of be physical and tough and play great defense to win championships, then you should fear Baltimore. Because they're not gonna wow you with with an aerial assault, but they're gonna run Jamal Lewis, and you're gonna get him 25 to 30 times, and they don't care if he doesn't end up with 100 yards.
Right.
They don't care. They're gonna keep running. He can end up with 25 carries for 78 yards. They're content with that. That grinds clock, and that's a punishing kind of a style that they want to employ, and they're content to let their defense try to win the game.
Yes,
and if you believe the old adage of that's how you win in the playoffs, I would fear a team like Baltimore.
And you know what's kind of underrated with the Ravens? I know they're not the Colts, but Mark Clayton and Derek Mason are two pretty good receivers.
And
Mark
they have
Clayton,
another guy who may have caught, I can't really think
Demetrius
of his name.
Williams?
Yeah, I think
rookie.
That is him.
But Mark Clayton has really come on.
Clayton's been a terrific receiver.
And so they don't throw the ball a lot, but when they do, they got some receivers that can cause some problems. I think Baltimore's getting a little bit overlooked in the AFC. Andy doesn't like him, I know that, but this is a guy that I turned to that turned to me on Christmas Day and said, and I quote, "There's no way the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl with Jeff Garcia at quarterback." And I said, "I can't wait for 2 months from now."
I still believe that. You know what? The day he wins a Super Bowl as the Eagles quarterback, I'll still be saying, "There is no way Jeff Garcia won a Super Bowl."
This is the Kerry Collins thing when I told Giant fans, "Listen, you never go into the Super Bowl with Kerry Collins." And since that day, I said, "Did you win?"
If not, then I'll go with, "Did he have a good game or did he throw a touchdown?" I'll always have an out.
I'll tell you what, though. I like the way that Eagles team is playing, especially defensively for the NFC. Of course, that don't matter because whoever gets in from the NFC is going to get slaughtered.
Sacrificial lamb for the AFC. Hey, did you know
Andy Hart here, in case you didn't know.
Loudmouth Andy Hart here. Patty, email in, you drunk. just got an email back from the league offices. They're not really helping us out with this playoff feature I'm putting together because, according to them, they don't work on their playoff notes until this weekend and early next week, so that doesn't help us. But 20 teams still in contention for the postseason, and the final week is the most ever.
Yes, well, I should let people know, now I know you're going to be surprised by this, but the Oakland Raiders have been eliminated. They are no longer in contention for a playoff spot. So that's one team you can cross off your list. I know they put up a heck of a fight this year, even though they were on primetime four times, which is amazing. Here's something for the fans. How about that Bears-Packers game being moved to the flex? Because we were in shock. First of all, the Bears are a 3-point favorite at home, so Vegas already got the word that they're not playing any starters for most of the game. Do you guys care about Brett Favre, the fans out there? I really want, not just, I'm not saying because you're Patriot fans, but as far as football fans in general, do you really care to watch Brett Favre against a bunch of backups? Because according to us, there was about four better games you could have picked, including ours, to be honest with you. I'd rather watch Vince Young on national television right now than Brett Favre.
Well, plus, with the Bears and their offense, you're really watching one unit of four on the field that's good. The Bears' defense, and that's not even as good as it was earlier in the year with all the injuries. So,
instead of going to second Brian Urlacher, going to third teamers.
Right. It's clearly the last game maybe to ever play, but it seems like a lot of people now have the impression that Favre's coming back, so it's not even the last game Favre's ever going to play.
And I just think everyone's just sick and tired of hearing about him.
Plus, they're in the postseason contention still, right?
Yeah.
They're one of those 20 teams. So I just don't get it. I mean, I just don't get it on so many levels why you'd want to see Packers-Bears.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless it's one of those where they just set a rivalry, but
I don't think that stuff sells anymore in the NFL.
I don't either.
To be honest,
I think it's
with you.
Stupid.
The Cowboys and Redskins are a big rivalry. If they were playing this week, you want to watch that game? Christ, I wouldn't even want to watch it.
Cowboys suck.
How many times have I told you those quote unquote natural rivalries that the league thinks everybody's interested in?
Right, are no good.
They're no good.
Green Bay's a small market.
Yeah, it's the rivalries that are brought up by teams that are good, like the Colts and the Patriots.
That's a rivalry.
That's a rivalry now because Manning, Brady, that's what people want to see. No one cares about the Bears and the Packers. Christ.
Here's all you need, the last line about, you know, when they talk about the possibilities of expanding the playoffs and everything. The New York Giants are in the playoffs if they win.
Right.
They don't need any help, Andy. All they need to do is win. That is such a sad state of mediocrity that you can possibly muster. Because you can't play any worse over the second half of the season than the New York Giants have.
No.
And all they have to do is win,
and
they're in.
As Andy said, the best line ever by John Madden on when the Cowboy game was on, they said the Giants control their own destiny. And John Madden said, well, the way the Giants have been playing, I don't think they should control anything. Right.
Yeah, the league, it's not, as a whole, not really roaring into this big, exciting, competitive postseason with all these great teams. And
no, I looked at some of the possible, like the first weekend matchups, and I was just like, wow. These just don't excite me.
Yeah.
You know? I think the Denver-New England one would if Cutler was in his second year. You know what I mean? Like, how many Ben Roethlisbergers are we going to have to lead their team to a Super Bowl? And I just don't buy it.
Or even if he was in his 14th start.
Yeah, like, I mean, if it went, like, week
what
two.
What is this,
went,
like?
It was going to be, like, his
fifth
or sixth.
Start or something like that. Yeah, I don't.
I mean, seriously, they come in here and beat New England, and New England stinks. Because there's no way you should let Jay Cutler come into your home in the playoffs with a defense that the Patriots have and win. There's just no way.
Yeah, I agree.
Alejandro, he says, Merry Christmas. Again with the Merry Christmas. It's a Happy New Year now, people. Happy New Year.
Tom's not happy. People are wishing him Merry Christmas.
The 27th.
It's true. It's past. You missed the opportunity. We were here all a couple weeks leading up.
I've enjoyed the podcast all season. You give me nice basic information on college football. I love Tom's assertively... I think it's supposed to be assertiveness, but he said assertively. But I won't criticize you. And I agree that motorcycles should be banned. I also like when you discuss other topics besides football. Although when you say sucking power, I'm not sure if you're talking about vacuum cleaners or the Raiders. Anyway, since I'm a TV fan, I want to ask you, scheme-wise, what did Rodney's presence allow the Patriots defense to do? Despite the 21 points and long run by Jones-Drew, I felt the defense seemed a lot sounder. Keep up the good work.
Andy, I brought this up earlier about Rodney.
On this show or your all-access appearance?
No, on this show. Thanks. I'll wait till you finish cackle.
You all right? Gary liked it behind the glass.
I know he did. He already made fun of me when I first came in. Anyway, in terms of the Rodney Harrison situation, and I don't think that Bill necessarily would have answered this, and that's why I didn't ask it, but maybe I'll see if I can skirt around
it.
Plus,
it had nothing to do with Vince Young.
Right. Did the fact that you employed Harrison so much at the line of scrimmage on Sunday against the Jags have more to do with just his skill set that allows him to do things that obviously you can't with a guy like James Sanders, or was it more strictly game plan related to Jacksonville?
Both would be my answer. I think James Sanders would have been, quote-unquote, up in the box and at the line of scrimmage, but I don't think you would have seen him blitzing and coming off the edge like you saw Rodney Harrison. I think Harrison... That's clearly a skill of his, you know, the most sacks for any defensive back in history. And, you know, you can see him, and we even saw plays where he got cut, knocked down, and runs all the way across the field and makes a play on Garrard going out of bounds. So, you know, I think his athleticism and playmaking ability in that role gives you more to work with, but I still think James Sanders would have been up in the box. I think they were saying, you can't beat us over the top, and we're taking away the run up front. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Looking ahead...
Yes.
Possible matchup with San Diego.
Yes.
Do you see something similar to that, or does San Diego have enough of a threat throwing the ball downfield to discourage you from doing that?
Well, especially with Gates in the middle of the field. I think that would discourage you on some level. Now, the other side of that coin is, who do you have on Gates? Maybe you're more comfortable with Artrell Hawkins playing a bigger role in the middle of the field as a former corner with maybe better coverage skills. Not as big. Harrison's a little bit bigger, a little more physical. But do you want Harrison chasing Gates, or do you end up with a corner on Gates more often? Who was that I saw a couple of weeks ago? Cowboys.
Newman.
Yeah, they put Newman on Gates.
Crumpler.
You know. Oh, yeah, Crumpler. Pretty much the whole time.
They must have seen
Hello,
the champagne.
Hello, Newman.
So, you know, maybe it's some of that. But, you know, I think Rodney Harrison is clearly at his best at the line of scrimmage, making plays, blitzing, run blitzes, pass blitzes, all that. But... I think you have a more dangerous passing game, especially with Gates and the Chargers, than you do, obviously, with Jacksonville, who really, they don't have a threat. Okay.
You done?
He asked me a question. I answered it.
I'm just asking if you're done. I was
going to
read.
Freaking gabagoo.
I was going to read the next email if you're all done.
Rocky was on last night, Paul.
Yeah. Nice. I watched it again for the 840th time in
my life. Yeah, I watched
life.
Some of it. I was flipping between that and Twins.
Was Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah. That's a bad movie.
It was funny.
That's a bad movie.
It's not that good.
In HD, so I watched it.
Early Doucette chiming in. He said, "Hey, guys, hope you all had a great holiday." See, that's how you do it, Early. "Impressive win Sunday. I was more than happy with the run defense minus Wolfirk. Wright played well. I mean, take away the phony baloney 74-yard run." We've been saying, Andy, it's nice to take away things like Lawrence Maroney's phony baloney run at the end where you could have said, well, Tom Brady was your leading rusher up until that point.
Yeah, but Maroney's run wasn't as quirky as the Jones-Drew run. I mean, that was quirky.
No, we, yes. I would call that bad defense. Was it quirky when Rodney Harrison dove at him and missed?
Remember the Jets game where they had the...
See, I don't think that's nearly as quirky
To interrupt for a second.
See, I do.
Since the intern's bringing in more pizza, I'm just going to keep on eating.
The Jets game, you had the... who had the first one where they fell on Scott, the long
that
one?
That was
Crotchery.
And then
that's why I said
Coles had the real one where he made people miss.
Right.
That's where I would put... I would compare those two, you know... Maroney.
Cotcheries was a fluke. Coles
right.
was a great
Maroney
run.
Had a great run up the middle where we saw everything we like about him, the explosion, the power, to get to the end, all of it.
So you're just.
The Jones Drew one was a quirky play.
So the Hawkins and Harrison missed tackles don't count in that.
It's clear that most of the defensive players thought he was down and gave up on the play. It's not a play where they got beat, it's a play where they didn't play to the whistle.
I saw him. Break two tackles.
First of all, he barely broke any tackles, and they were nonchalant efforts, the ones that players give where they think the play is dead, but they're trying to be the good guy and still pretend they're still playing.
I don't agree with it. When Jones-Drew pops up after going down, didn't Wright toss the center right into him, and they only ran for 57 yards? To say the officiating was terrible would be a gross understatement.
I think that was the worst of the year.
Both
ways, both sides, all directions, they sucked.
"Nice to see Dave Thomas making plays. While I'm not looking to put him in Canton, a few more games like that, and I'll be contemplating Watson in a trade package. Shipping Ben with a fragile tag, of course. Fragile tag, of course. Chad Jackson.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Chad Jackson must really be on the SHIT list.
Whoa.
When I see Childress and some guy named Kelvin making catches, I have to wonder what is wrong with Jackson.
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
Was he even on the field at all? Yeah, he caught one pass, he got lit up, and lost 2 yards.
And he blocked a few times, as has become the case usually lately.
Also got to see Branch drop several balls Sunday. And you think Seattle might want to add putting defensive backs way back in coverage in case a quarterback trying to get his team a late score, maybe considering throwing deep. Oh, well, a better draft pick for us. Love the show. Russell from the Unwrapped in the sunny OC."
Is it true? Well, I saw we had an emailer that with tiebreakers it can be the 11th pick in the draft.
No.
I didn't think so.
They're in the playoffs.
That's what I thought.
The worst it could be is whatever the 12th was. 20? 21st?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
The worst they can be is
that was a little weird.
The worst they could be is 12th in the. Actually, no, I'm even wrong about that. The worst they could be is it would be not even 12th in the bottom,
20th.
Would it?
It would be like in the 20 to 22 range
because they're a division winner.
Right, so it would be like around that 22 area is where they're.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter, does it?
I don't know.
The only thing that matters is the Super Bowl. The other, it's by record.
Yeah, it's
okay. So the
20 to 22 range.
The 12th from the last is the earliest it could be.
Okay. The strippers guy Eric from Manchester says, "I've got a question for me. UCLA -3 over FSU. I like UCLA. Agree. I think they should blow that game up. I don't think it should be played."
I'm shocked you didn't say, "Oh, kill them."
I'll give you a good one right there. The under.
But it's 38.
Under.
I would go with UCLA if I had to pick it, because I don't think Florida State's really playing football anymore. I think they're just there. So I would agree with you, but I wouldn't put the farm on it.
I just can't see there being any points scored in that game. Neither team has an offense.
No. Jeff in Vegas. "Hi, guys. I thought I had seen everything out of Tom Brady, but I was really shocked to see him get up after that hit and get right back in the game. I thought for sure he had separated his shoulder or something of the like. Is Brady just lucky, or is his pain tolerance just higher than any other player?"
Damn right.
"I know it has all been said before, but I found his performance inspiring to both the other Pats players and fans. It's been a great thrill to watch Tom's career. P.S. I know you guys are not able to watch many other games but New England, but to say Deion Branch is having a solid year is inaccurate. He cost Seattle the game Sunday, and his drops are getting to the point where they might be becoming something mental. So he had a bad game, apparently.
His drops? Get right back with his drops for the season. I'm interested to see what his stats are. Tell me what his drops are. Because I've seen highlights every week of him making incredible catches. If he had a bad game this week, that's the first.
I find it hard to
just
believe he's dropping a lot of balls.
I hate the immature nature of Patriots fans. It bothers me to no end.
Led by?
Fred Kirsch.
Brady is clearly a combination of both. He's clearly a tough SOB, but he's been there's some injuries, whether you're tough or not. Rodney Harrison's a pretty tough player. When they blow out his knee, you miss the rest of the season. So Brady's been fortunate to not have any of those, but I will never question his resiliency and toughness after you see some of the hits he takes and gets up.
Unbelievable. It's amazing.
And that was a cheap shot. I'm not super fan Andy Hart. That's a cheap shot. That's spearing that he took in the back.
I was taking a leak. I didn't see it.
I mean, they call a penalty
on
them.
It looked to me like
Clint Ingram getting within 3 yards of him and you know, giving dirty breath to him and blowing on him, and then he spears him in the back, and they call nothing.
Yeah, though the one that
the officials sucked.
I thought that was a terrible, terrible non-call. That should have been spearing.
And there was penalties all day.
That could have even
Pauly Banacain.
Yeah,
had a cheap penalty.
Yeah, I don't
want to
sound like
all day long they sucked.
Thanks for bringing that up, because you do run the risk of sounding like the Johnny Homer. There was a play that Garrard slid head first, and you're not supposed to touch him at all, and they drilled him. Banacain absolutely drilled Garrard when he had gone head first, and there was no call on that. So, you know, I don't want to be the homer, but that's, you know, the officiating needs to change, because they're affecting games, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Not to mention the fact that the guy got in the way of a pass that would have been a first down in the middle of the game.
There's two things I think they really need to look at. They need to look at the pass interference. Instead of worrying about players celebrating in the end zone, they ought to worry about looking at the pass interference and seeing if there's any way they can tweak it a little bit to try to help, like we always say, the spot foul on a 65-yard pass. And two, they got to look at that roughing the quarterback. I know you can say every year this is the worst. I'll tell you right now, I've been watching football forever. I've never seen it this bad, where you could take 10, 15, 20 calls that we've seen throughout the NFL this year.
Terrible.
And just say, that's arguably the worst roughing the passer call I've ever seen. So those are things
I think Sundays might have been the worst I've ever seen. He barely even came in contact.
You want to know how bad it's getting? On the one that was called on Seymour, which we all can agree was ticky-tack, it's gotten so bad that people are now seeing replays of calls like that, and they're saying, oh, yeah, well, that's roughing the passer. That's what they call. That's how they've been calling him.
Yep.
I mean, that was a terrible call. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, he might as well have sent Garrard into a body bag compared to what Ingram did to Brady on the roughing the passer that he got.
What the hell is that?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is, but
Homer.
Stop playing it.
Oh, that was Marge? Oh, okay.
Sawyer from Waterloo. Hey, guys, hope you all had a very Merry Christmas. It was a fun game to watch. We look like we finally woke up for the first time this season. It was great to see 37 back on the field, even though I think Sanders is looking good at this point in his career. I hope that Tully will remember that mojo play for the rest of his career. That was quite a way for Dave Thomas to make his first catch. That was first touchdown catch, probably meant. He may not be flashy as Watson, but he looked very good when given the opportunity.
No, although, he's just better.
He's not as good as John Mackey either.
No. Although if
I wanted to turn around and say, Andy, John Mackey is a Hall of Fame tight end.
I figured he was good when they named the best college football tight end award after him. I'm not going to pretend I've ever seen a highlight, a clip, or anything.
Oh, I've never seen him.
He's never seen the clip where he carries 10 guys 40 yards before
he
breaks.
I probably have seen it, but
you've
didn't
seen that
know
clip.
It.
You've seen that clip. They show it all the time. Although, if he wants to take over for Watson, he needs to work on putting the ball on the ground because he held on to it way too much. I love Brady's willingness to do what it takes for the team, but dude, slide. He had me shooting orange fire water. He has got to be one of the toughest quarterbacks, if not players, in the league.
If we want to update that, thanks. Christmas dinner left me with yellow fire water.
I don't want to know what that left me.
I think
you,
it was the cornbread stuffing.
It might have had something to do with 6 pieces of lemon meringue pie, who you have a weird emotional attachment to. Every person that walked into the kitchen, try the lemon meringue pie. Try the lemon meringue pie. The best food in the world.
My
best
favorite
food in the world.
Food on Earth.
Best food in the world.
Well, it went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water. Paul, a little update as well. You got good Brady quotes for your story?
Okay.
What story is that?
How are those Jarvis Green quotes coming?
I didn't hear any of those.
Excuse me.
Oh, I thought you were doing a Brady and an offense story.
I was going to do Rodney.
Oh, okay. Good luck with that. You would have had good quotes from Brady if you were doing an offense story.
Well, he could wait and see if he gets anything from Rodney. If not, then he can do a Brady story.
Tom Brady likes Vince Young. Thinks he's a good guy, good leader, kind of guy he'd want to have a beer with.
Yeah, he'd say that about anybody.
I don't know if he would.
All right. I also heard Bill was wearing the AFC champ hat. That makes a couple of glitches in the Belichick system this year. Is he happy that what they have done this year, all things considered, it just seems out of character for him?
He was happy at 9-4. Obviously, he's happy with the division crown.
Yeah, I mean,
I never said that.
It was odd. He wore the thing all the way home. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it was
Where's
odd.
Your hat?
On a lot of levels, just visually, very odd.
Yeah. And they all were. I mean, it was a hat and t-shirt game. It was a hat and t-shirt game.
You can't buy those hat and t-shirts except
I don't
the
remember
pro
them. I don't remember them talking about that stuff in the past. Now, I know that in 2001 they were very, very excited.
Yeah, it
was the first time. But in 03, 04, and 05, I don't remember this amount of vigor. Surrounding clinching the AFC East.
Makes me rethink a lot of phrases I throw in, like the bar is set higher here in New England thanks to recent success and things like that, where maybe it's not. Maybe they're happy with the division title.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, to be honest with you.
I don't either, but...
I'm not trying to make a thing out of it. I'm just saying that I think this is a little out of character.
I've always thought they were the type that will enjoy the division crown if and when we lose. Otherwise, we have our sights set on Miami.
Right.
I mean, it was definitely for me, for 2 years being here, it was definitely different this year than it was last year.
There's been a lot of things that have been treated and acted upon differently.
And last year, they didn't have to fight for the division.
Yeah.
You know, they had it wrapped up in November, and this year, they were pushed right down to the wire.
Right.
By Eric Mangini's Jets. Sorry, Mangini.
Jason has a question. Any chance the Pats would sign wide receiver Marcus Robinson from the Vikings? I hear he's going to be released soon. I will answer that question. No.
As long as we got a lot of in-depth background there.
Well,
no.
They're not going to bring in a receiver. I mean, what's the sense? Are you going to bring in a guy to learn the system in a week? They got a guy who's been here since March.
We're interested in doing
what
whatever
do,
we
by
think
the
is
way?
In the best interest of the ball.
What?
Did he say something and they cut him? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I don't know. He's going to get cut this week. I'm not sure if he has been
cut. He ripped
cut
them or something, didn't he?
Yeah, which is probably deserved after watching the team live.
Can I ask you guys, before you get on with the next email, Tom, your opinions on the wording that Belichick insisted on using in terms of how he's going to treat this last game? You know, we're going to treat it like any other game and do our best to win it. That doesn't mean that Brady plays four quarters.
Right, exactly.
So I'm asking you what you think.
But in the past, hasn't he specifically said, like the phrase, sort of like the last preseason game, the guys that are on the field? He didn't say that last year?
No.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You looked it up?
No, but I remember when we talked about it.
I'm going to look it up.
I think Brady will play a half or maybe into the third quarter and then give way to Castle and some of the backups. That's how I see it going. I don't really know. I mean, 3-4, is there much of an advantage there? I think maybe getting some rest is a bigger advantage at this point.
Right. I'm not asking necessarily about the, you know, what's best for the Patriots in terms of the seed as much as I am based on what Belichick talked about and said. Do you think that he's going to take that and in turn,
I have no idea. I don't think he's consistent in what he says anymore, so I don't think you can necessarily read into what he says.
No, I would be surprised.
He used to be consistent. Now he contradicts himself on a regular basis.
I would be very surprised to see Brady play start to finish.
I would be too.
And I don't mean just he'll play until the game is no longer in doubt. I think there's a certain amount of plays that they have in mind for him, and he'll be done.
I agree. I think that's how it'll work out. And hopefully they'll just run the football after that, and we can get home. Sounds pretty good.
Be nice.
All right, Gary, if you're not too busy over there, let's take a break.
Breaks the tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From the first round draft pick in 2004 to only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson. Free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson. Patriots autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you got a Rhineland-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Back with you, PFW in progress. Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. If you want to drop us a line, it's webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. And our late Christmas present to all the fans, no Fred Kirsch today.
Woohoo!
So you don't have to worry about that.
He's out shooting his eye out with his new Red Ryder BB gun.
He got a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. I go, you know, how expensive was it? He goes, that wasn't that expensive, like 60, 70 bucks. For a BB gun?
What's
that
he gonna
you're never gonna use that.
For a BB gun for a grown adult.
Right. Is he gonna shoot birds or yeah, soda cans?
Let's face it, he doesn't have a lot of free time to just go out in the backwoods and you know,
he can't even watch a TV show.
You know damn well he's gonna be out there shooting at things.
Fudge.
He'll be on that porch.
Only I didn't say fudge.
Picking things off. Neighbor's cats.
Okay, back to the emails. We have Raymond from Turlock, California. He said some random questions. If you could only re-sign one player, who would it be, Asante Samuel or Daniel Graham?
Asante Samuel.
Same here. Who would you rather face in the playoffs, Jets or Broncos?
Broncos.
Broncos.
Jets.
Okay. Who's the fastest player on the team?
Dan Klecko.
No. Chad Jackson?
Football speed or 40 speed?
Football speed. Who's the fastest guy on the field you see play?
Maybe Maroney, then, if we're just talking football speed.
I would say Maroney, Andrews, one of those return guys. I don't think Chad Jackson's in the mix.
Wow. No. Nice bomb. Andy, you got to turn around and watch this bomb by this kid.
Yeah, I don't think Chad Jackson's in the mix of actual on-field speed. And none of them compare to Bethel Johnson.
Okay, and how would our D-line match up against our O-line in a 60-minute football game?
They'd kill them. Absolutely kill them.
I think the Patriots' defensive line is a notch above.
Yes,
to say the least.
How big's that notch?
I think that defensive line would dominate virtually anybody.
So, Justin, we asked about the Packers-Bears game, and Justin chimes in with, I'd rather get whaled in the face with a Tom Brady shotgun pass than watch the Bears-Packers game this weekend. So there's one vote for no.
I think that's how most people feel. Is it too late to change it?
I mean, they had they did this, six days before,
Pretty soon they're going to be like, why don't we wait till the morning of and we'll make a decision? They stink.
This is kind of a long one.
Summarize it. Just look for keywords. Andy's great.
Well, the end says, one last thing. Great job, Tom, missing the Cowboys-Eagles by a mile and being spot on with the Pats against the Jags. You're still the man.
He was spot on, Pats-Jags. Which time?
as we joked about before the game started, Tom was going to be spot on that game no matter what happened.
No, here's what happened. I was doing my whole analysis thing like we were doing here, like how it worked. It's in favor of the Patriots, like the matchups. So Felger just said, you like the Jags like I, the Patriots like I do. He didn't give me a chance to say who I like, so then I kind of just rolled with it after that. But I picked Jacksonville everywhere else, and it's like I said, from now on, when everything's equal, I'm going with the Patriots, just like Fred Kirsch.
Till they fumble 7 times.
Oh, well, that's Andy Hart.
Well, that's been the clear difference. I mean, pretty much everything else is
so
similar.
You're like Brady, so when they don't turn the ball over,
they have a good chance of winning. I think the crap competition on a lot of levels makes it so that if you play a clean game, they're talented enough to win, even though I don't think they're competitive with what they've been in the past.
All right. Well, he's talking about the Jacksonville defense. He said he was listening to Felger's interview with Sugar Bear Hamilton and some of the things that he heard. He said he talked about the Jaguars' defensive scheme, the cover two, and the four-man front pressure. He also agreed on not letting Brady get comfortable in the pocket and openly said that they didn't want to put a spy on Brady because he is not a great runner. The first thing was kind of interesting is Jaguars' defense didn't put a lot of pressure on Brady, and he ripped them apart, just like McDonald said he would do. Who?
I don't know. Who's McDonald?
Yeah, I'm done with this one.
Old?
We're moving on.
Felger is Ronald McDonald.
Oh, was Felger on with Joe McDonald?
McDonald? He was on with Tom Casale and Fred Kirsch. When did that interview with
Ray Hamilton?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did it from here.
I don't know who McDonald is then.
Okay.
Joe McDonald, pro Joe.
Ben Coach? McDonald?
Coach.
Ben McDonald?
Special teams, pitching, same.
We got Justin. He says, I'm sure you guys will be inundated with wild card questions and information. So far be it for me to be any different from the rest of us Pat fan sheep. Right now, we're looking at Denver and the Jets as the two wild card teams. Certainly, these are the two teams who I am most afraid of in the first round of the playoffs. What does it say if I'm actually afraid of every team that we're going to face in the playoffs? What are the scenarios in which we can hope and pray for some miraculous choke to get either of these guys out of the postseason contention? And if they do lose to San Fran and Oakland, which seems nearly impossible, what teams are best poised to replace them in the wild card round? Any that would work out to our advantage?
Cincinnati, Tennessee, Kansas City, and Jacksonville are the other four teams that are still in contention.
Jacksonville, Kansas City, and Tennessee, I would say you're better off against than the Jets and the Broncos.
From the Patriots' perspective, I agree with Andy. I'd rather play Jacksonville than either of the two teams in there, but I probably disagree with most other people. I think the Patriots, the best thing that could have happened was Cincinnati missing that extra point, because I think Cincinnati is the kind of team, even though they haven't been consistent, even though they haven't done, they haven't been able to handle the expectations and all that, I think they have the physical talent to come to Foxborough to beat the Patriots, even though it didn't look like that when they played each other out in Cincinnati much earlier in the year. I think it's good for the Patriots that they don't have to deal with the Bengals.
Okay. He says...
I'm in the minority on that, though.
Are you really?
People I haven't think heard that... any, everybody thinks Cincinnati stinks.
Really? I must not be listening.
He said, also being the third seed definitely has its advantages over being the fourth, but in your opinion, do those advantages warrant playing all of our starters this weekend, or would we be better off letting them rest? I know we're dependent on an Indy loss to Miami too, but is it at least worth not giving it a try, don't you think, Paul?
Don't I think?
Well, you I know you were already complaining about this earlier, that the three seed, you remember Fred's edit letter?
I missed something then.
He said the three seed definitely has its advantages over being a fourth. And don't you think it has no advantage?
No, I don't think it has any advantage. I think you have to play at Baltimore or at San Diego. And unless you're looking at it from selfish perspective and...
Baltimore's an hour away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for that reason and that reason only, I'd rather go to Baltimore. But I think that the Ravens are every bit as difficult a team as the Chargers. Very different styles. For sure, but I think they both present their challenges, and I don't think...
Plus, nothing's mapped out.
But even if it was...
There's so many things up in the air.
Patriots haven't won their first-round game yet.
But but obviously, we're all dealing on the assumption that they do win it. But is there anything...
Like, tell me what the hypotheticals are. I can't answer that. Tell me what they are.
But is there anything about either one of those that would say, I'd rather play San Diego than Baltimore, or I'd rather play Baltimore than San Diego?
I'd rather play Baltimore.
That's that strong,
I think
though?
It's a better matchup. I think it's a Jaguars-type matchup. Whereas I think if San Diego plays its game, I don't think the Patriots can beat them. That's all things being equal, I'll take the Chargers.
Okay. All right. I don't know. There's just too much up in the air right now.
Right. That's what I mean. I don't see how you can look at everything else and try to I think it's all, and I said this before, in this building, whatever you think your team needs in terms of play, preparation, time out there, whatever, I think that's what you do, and you just sort of let the other cards fall where they may.
Okay. Phil from Austin.
Phil.
Gary.
Gary.
Philip. Hey, man, what's happening, Phil?
He says, Tom, I agree with you about Dave Thomas. He's gonna do more to get Ben Watson back from his injury than the entire Patriots training staff. Reminds me a little of Mark Bavaro. Could you tell me if Rodney looked
white?
Like he was running any better
at all
than
Mark
he
Bavaro.
Was before he hurt his shoulder? To all the guys at PFW, Happy New Year's, and thanks for keeping the people out here in the far corners of Patriots Nation close to their favorite team.
You're welcome.
That's Phil.
I happen to think the more accurate comparison to Mark Bavaro is Daniel Graham. He's a punishing, pounding, physical blocker who could also catch the ball and make tackle, you know, not make guys miss, but break tackles. That's what Bavaro did, and that's what Graham does. Now, Graham's not as good as Bavaro, but... And I'm just talking in sheer style. Andy, it was funny earlier. Suddenly, Tom is being given credit. Someone said, Tom, you were right on about David Thomas.
Right.
To which I said after the email was over, and Tom's all mad now. But
well, I said he was going to the Pro Bowl.
I said, why are you getting credit for the guy that everybody thought was their best player in camp? Why are you getting credit for it?
I said he was better than Ben Watson. And I still think he
So if you say stupid stuff, evidently you get credit for it.
Apparently I'm right. A lot of people agree with
apparently
that.
Apparently I'm right. One guy has 50 catches, one guy has 7. Apparently Tom's right.
Bad coaching. They should have gotten involved earlier in the year.
Because Belichick is often accused of being a bad coach.
Well, he was on here not more than a month ago by all the fans.
Have you heard that that machine that some computer geeks have invented called Zeus that can immediately... During a game, it basically tells you like the decisions you make and your chances of getting a positive play, negative play.
Yes.
And it's illegal for you can't use it.
You can't use it during a game.
Right. And they're trying to sell it to teams as like preparation. Like, you know, Josh McDaniels, your new offensive coordinator, give him a day on this simulator to make decisions and see how it would play out.
Right.
But I guess they ran games for coaches where they plugged in the decisions they made and. I guess Belichick is very high on it.
Yeah.
And then others like Lovie Smith. There was a list of them that don't rank so high on this computer world right decision monitor. But I guess it's like $150,000 to buy it. So
yeah, it's
I don't see anybody really.
Who's buying it?
Well, I don't think. I think the article sort of, without saying it, said nobody's been dumb enough to buy it yet.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Robert.
It's a lot of money to invest in something you use on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Well, you, Dan Heffernan, you chime in. You let them know who said what about Dave Thomas. I'm sure you got to go back to the archives. Open up the archives.
Oh, I'm not doubting that you said that he was a Pro Bowler.
No, I'm just telling you why
I think we all were very high on David Thomas.
But you're asking why are people associating me? Because there was one day when I was sitting here spouting off about how I thought he would be better than Ben Watson. I think that's probably what people remember.
Now, where are you on the Lawrence Maroney bandwagon? Are you superstar back, or he stunk and Maurice Jones-Drew was better, or Maroney's good again?
I don't know. I've been pretty consistent with Maroney.
I fell out of love with him for a little while.
No, I didn't. When?
About
when? What week?
Four weeks ago?
Was I not clamoring that he should be...
You fell out of love for a little while.
No, that's not true. That is not true. Not with Maroney, I know.
You started ripping the running game in general, and you said, what has Maroney done in 3 weeks?
Well, he hadn't done much. You can't, the facts are the facts.
So we're back to now he's a superstar.
I think he is, yes. I think he's a great player. But when he's not performing well, when Reggie Bush wasn't performing well, we still liked him, but you gotta say the facts are the facts. What are you gonna do? You know, I'm sure if Maroney was in Jacksonville, he'd be putting up similar, if not better, numbers than Jones-Drew. If he was getting that many carries and they had that kind of power running game, but here they spread him out, they throw it more. You know, they want to give Dylan the ball for reasons we have no idea why. And
I still say they fear him, maybe. Bill goes, if I don't give him 10 touches, he might be out in the back of my car waiting for me.
Here's an interesting thing that we were talking about earlier from Sean from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. He's talking about the Belichick and Pioli to the Giants. He said, hi, guys. Hope you had a great Christmas. I would like to know what you think about the blurb from Fred's main man, Mike Florio, on Pro Football Talk, that rumors have Belichick and Pioli going to the Giants. Do we take that with a grain of salt, or is there more than meets the eye?
I take it with a grain of salt. I think it would be... I'd be shocked if that unfolded that way, if both of them went to the Giants.
And even Florio said it.
Right. And he's one
who loves
to run with this kind of crap.
He said he didn't buy this one.
So, I mean... Yeah, I would be stunned. Now, maybe Pioli, Pioli goes and tries to set up his own thing and hire a coach or whatever. You know, Charlie Weiss and Scott Pioli in New York, maybe. I just could not see the Patriots letting Belichick go to the Giants.
The only way I could see Belichick leaving is if there's some problems between him and Kraft that we don't know about when he wants to leave.
Right.
Other than that, I don't see any scenario where,
right.
You know, he's not here next year.
Right.
He said, also, can you guys explain why you want Denver when most Pat fans, including myself, feel that Denver is the Pat's kryptonite? The Pat's offense always has trouble against the Denver defense. If they do beat Denver, the only team I'm afraid of is Baltimore. I will take San Diego anywhere. Why, you ask? Marty Schottenheimer versus Bill Belichick. I will take Belichick any day of the week over Marty Ball.
And how many tackles is Marty going to make?
And yet, as the Patriots coach... Marty Schottenheimer is what, 2-0 or 1-0?
The Chargers.
They only
coach?
Play one for Belichick against. They only play once, maybe once. Who was the coach the first time? Maybe Mike Riley. I don't know.
Riley when they ran all over him with Damian Tomlinson.
I don't put as much stock into the whole Broncos thing as other people are because this is a different situation. You're dealing. The whole thing is the dynamic has changed. You're dealing with a different quarterback. That whole kryptonite thing, in my opinion, doesn't really exist because this is a whole different style they're going to try to win with, and you don't know how that matches up. Now, maybe, 5 minutes into the game, Jay Cutler comes out here and he's whipping the ball around, and suddenly they have a balanced offense. And maybe I think a little bit differently about it. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't played badly, but I don't think he's played great either. And... Yeah, I would have to see it before I believe it, I guess is the best way to put it. Whereas the Jets, I saw what they can do with a little talent, and I don't think they have a lot of talent.
I don't either.
But I saw coaching make a big difference here in Gillette Stadium. Not that he outcoached Belichick, like the way that the players and Bill said after that game, but I saw the difference that coaching can make, and that's an equalizer.
Well, I think it's so funny that all these predictions practically are all coaching. You know, he has no problem facing the Chargers because they have Schottenheimer and Bill, but he doesn't want to face the Broncos because they have Shanahan and he'll beat Bill. And the Jets have, it's like nobody takes into account, and I know coaching is huge. I'm not going to disregard that in the postseason, but how about the talent on some of these teams like the Ravens or like the Chargers? And
right.
I just don't think the Broncos are playing that well. I don't think the defense is as dominating.
I think they've staggered to the finish line. And the Jets... if the Jets go 10-6, you put every Jet player up on a lie detector test and say if they thought. Now, you can look at it this another way, too. They might be just happy to be there and, you know, they roll over and die. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think Mangini will let that happen.
Right, because they have a coaching staff that, you know, obviously watched Bill not be satisfied. But they're going to be on a high. They're going to be on a high, and they fly, and you know they're going to be flying. The Broncos, I think, had designs on much bigger and better things, and they've stuttered and staggered their way to the finish line here, and are kind of lucky to be in the playoffs.
And
in my opinion,
on some level, their head coach said we're building for the future this year by putting the quarterback in.
They're still playing for this year, but this is more of a next year kind of thing.
This is a we can win the Super Bowl next year with Cutler. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I think there's definitely arguments to be made both ways, both sides.
I'm selfish.
I don't deny that.
I want Mangini in Foxborough
on
Belichick.
But I would rather play Denver than New York as a Patriots fan.
I mean, that'll be tremendous. They can do those camera shots again where they're like 10 miles away and they pretend they're not looking at each other. And I'd be pumped for that one.
Josh from Arlington is
I'm excited to be a head coach.
What about Hobbs being the fastest on the field? Did you see him smoke down the field trying to catch Jones-Drew on that long run?
He did.
He was flying, or was Jones-Drew just letting up?
Good effort by him.
A very good effort, but yes, Jones-Drew smelled the finish line and was definitely slowing up. But
he ran a sub 440 on that, according to the official scorebook.
A great effort.
He ran like a 3.7.
Yeah, just so the listeners know what we're talking about, we all laughed. The scoring drive was one play, 74 yards, seven seconds.
Which is includes the bouncing off the back, falling on the ground, everything, and then running 74 yards.
We don't think that's possible.
No. Not only do we not think it, it's physically, humanly impossible.
And he goes on to say, what the hell were they thinking with the Bears-Packers game?
Two votes.
That should suck, but at least you guys didn't get pushed into primetime duty, which you all seem to dread. Now, that is true.
Yes, that is true.
Words can't even express. I dreaded it when I was just a fan. Never mind when I had to work for a living. There's nothing worse than a primetime game.
Yeah, I don't really like them either.
By the way, the anti-primetime game might pass up the John Rook podcast vote. What's that, already 2-3?
Yeah.
Picking up steam here.
Steve from Ontario, Canada. Hey, PFW crew. Hey. I hope you had a great Christmas, and I hope a bubbly New Year's is coming. Guys, the Pats looked good this Sunday for most of the game. While I was watching, I felt most the whole way through like I was watching an old Pats team. What I mean is that no matter what the score was, I just felt the Pats were controlling the clock, could win whenever they wanted, etc. That was shattered a bit in the fourth when the Jags had a great chance to come back, but I was wondering how you guys felt about those first three quarters. I thought a great number was zero turnovers by the Patriots. Considering the Jags have a pretty good home defense, I was a bit shocked by that number. By the way, if the Giants lose and the Packers win, Green Bay goes to the playoffs. What a condemnation of the state of the NFC right now.
Yeah.
We did talk about this a little bit earlier. We felt that they were in control the whole way pretty much. You know,
the big plays hurt, and that's why that they had to hold on at the end and make another play because they allowed some big plays, which is very uncharacteristic of this defense this year. It hasn't been like last year.
Right.
74-yard run, 41-yard pass, 33-yard touchdown pass. You know, we haven't really seen a lot of those this year against the Patriots. But overall, yeah, I totally agree. And Tom and I said it off the top, Andy. We thought, considering the opponent, the venue, and the stakes, it was the best performance of the season.
Yes.
Okay, Andy Haar.
I'm sorry, I was looking.
He's not the best color man in the business for nothing, folks.
Lucky he picked the right answer.
Well, there was
only two chances. I
got caught watching the NFL Network replay of the Bengals-Broncos game, and Chad Johnson had his first career fumble lost.
Oh, really?
460 career receptions, first fumble lost.
And now they're rolling Cutler out and for a touchdown.
Ben Watson would kill to have those numbers.
He obviously can throw on the run pretty well.
Yeah.
I saw him make a couple of other throws on that. Did you see that 99-yard drive that they had in that game?
Yeah.
He made some really good throws.
Well, when he was willing the talentless Vanderbilt team to a 6-6 record, and he'll just tell you that they were talentless.
Right.
And I'll tell you something right now, that something happened between Jake Plummer and Shanahan, because they had Plummer in there running drop-back passes, saying that's what they wanted. Then they get Cutler in there running what Plummer used to run.
That's not right.
I think they set him up to fail, to be honest with you. But anyway, it's interesting because they not only they didn't have him rolling out, Tom, they talked a lot about how the stretch play they didn't have the Tatum Bell doesn't have the cutback tendencies that like Mike Anderson used to have and some of their other guys, obviously with Portis in the past. So without that threat of the cutback on the run, they were saying they couldn't get that end.
Right.
Wasn't biting because he was playing it honest and waiting for the rollout. Now all of a sudden you change quarterbacks and suddenly you have that threat of a cutback? Doesn't make any sense.
No. Okay, PJ is talking about Jack Del Rio. He said, "Yo, guys, what's up? I saw the Del Rio press conference, and he seemed to go overboard on the officials. He was basically whining at the podium. Also, you guys touch on this already, but Bill Belichick seemed more happy than I have seen him to win a division. He was wearing the hat and seemed genuinely happy about it. It seems to me that Bill is happy, excited, because he knows that the team he coaches doesn't have that much talent. A couple of weeks ago, they were saying that a lot of teams would like to be 9-4. This doesn't seem to be very Belichick-esque. Anyway, Tom, I'm looking forward to a Patch Bird Super Bowl, meaning the Eagles. Tom, are you romosexual, or do you think he has hit the proverbial wall for this year? Later, guys. Andy told me on Christmas Day that Romo was, they were predicting that he would sell the most jerseys of any player in the NFL this year, and I told him, that's crazy. There's no way I'd go out and buy a Tony Romo jersey. I think he's the best option they've had at quarterback since Troy Aikman, but I'll let you know this time next year after I see him play a full season in the NFL.
Plus, I'm not sure if you heard, because they've kept it pretty much secret. He's been connected with Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
If you watch the game, you probably didn't know that, but...
Unbelievable.
They got more important things to do in Dallas than win, you know, like hanging out with country singers, having birthday parties. T.O. was hanging out with the Eagles players the night before, you know, too many things going on there to worry about winning.
That's the whole thing that you always talk about too, Tom, in terms of evaluating that Mike Martz used to say about the 30 games. You gotta get some starts under your belt before you can, you know, people start off and sometimes they struggle early, sometimes they have a lot of success early. But it's how the adjustments are made that kind of tells you which direction the guy's going
to
go.
Right. Now, teams have made adjustments to Romo. Now we have to see if he makes the adjustments back to being a good quarterback. You got to remember, he's a young guy. He hasn't played that much. So,
And now as you go forward here with Romo, and I think that he's played great, so I don't want the Drew guys to start yelling at me. But let's see how when defenses are saying, okay, what we really need to concentrate on, we need to treat him almost like one of these Michael Vick types. We need to see what he can do from the pocket. We need to make him stay in the pocket and beat us. I thought the Eagles did a pretty good job of that the other day. He made some good plays scrambling too, but I thought for the most part when the sacks weren't a lot of pressure, they had contained pressure, I thought, and then they got up the middle and got him. He looked a little he looked human the other day. You know, I don't think he was the reason they lost, but I thought that he looked human.
And you're not going to see a Patriots-Birds Super Bowl, according to Andy Hart, because no Jeff Garcia-led team will go to the Super Bowl.
No chance.
Yeah, I got to agree with Andy.
No freaking chance.
You look at the NFC, man. They're playing. You're telling me if they go to Chicago, you'd be shocked if the Eagles,
Let me ask you this. I'm not even going to say go all the way, win the Super Bowl. But let's say they win the last game, they're division champs. So then they have... they win their first game. They don't have a bye. So they win their first game, then they go on the road and say they win that game and then lose in the NFC Championship. What happens to McNabb?
I don't know. It's a tough choice.
What do you mean?
I mean, you can't.
Well, you know, you have this whole thing about, you know.
I don't want Jeff Garcia as my quarterback on any team at any level.
All right. Well, I'll judge it from Tom then. What, you know, this whole thing about you don't lose the job with injury, and we know that that's a fallacy. Now, fact of the matter is Jeff Garcia has played better than Donovan McNabb. Now, McNabb started off the year like a house of fire. But he tailed off badly. Very badly.
Right, but how Jeff Garcia's been playing for how long?
He's 36.
No. I mean this year. Four weeks?
This will be his seventh game.
Oh, really? That long?
He's 5-1.
It's a little longer than I thought it was. He stinks.
Right. Well, there you have it.
I know quarterbacks. I told everybody Jake Plummer stunk.
You and Felger.
And eventually he stunk.
Unless the
Felger
stuff on ESPN was wrong. Pretty sure they said he was 5-1
like
as the starter.
Felger can tell how good a quarterback's going to be by just watching him for a quarter. So, PJ, he thinks Tony Romo's the man. Felger does. So you have it from
the
authority
sure
on quarterback.
Now, probably the age eliminates any ongoing controversy here, because they're not going to turn it over to a 37-year-old guy next year.
No, I don't think so.
But I just think it's interesting that, you know, the way that works out, because he's played better than McNabb.
I'll tell you what. Let's say they win the Super Bowl. Then what?
I ship him out.
All right.
I get rid of him to take away any pressure on my franchise quarterback.
Andy Hart is not a Jeff Garcia fan.
He stinks.
Okay, with that, we'll take our final break of the show.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
First round draft pick in 2004 to owner Lamar's touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official new replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact to autographed helmet limited to 400 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. It's web radio at patriots.com. If you want to send us an email, 508-543-7482 for the three people who call. We're talking Patriots. We're talking playoffs.
Speaking of the three people,
Craig
Tom,
cheated on us.
Yeah, I was just going to say, speaking of that, I happened to hear about 30 seconds of EEI yesterday, and Craig from South Carolina called in for Patriots Monday on WEEI.
Jesus, Craig.
No, that's not good.
At what time?
It was during the midday show.
Craig, you're dead to us.
I never liked him.
Bill Burt was on.
Oh, no.
He wasted his
That's
time calling Bill
good.
Burt. What'd they talk about, the 78 Pats?
All right. So Craig is dead to us.
Yep.
He's gone. He's sleeping with the fishes.
He's like Patty.
No emails from Patty, but we have...
Holiday season, when you're a drunk, he won't wake up for days.
We have Rodrigo in Atlanta. He said, hey, guys, hope you all had a good Christmas, and I can't wait till New Year. Jaws on ESPN said that Tom Brady has carried the team this year. Now, do you agree? or was it the defense, the coaching, or even the holder who has put this team on his back? Maybe the team hasn't been carried by anyone. What do you guys think? I know the Pro Bowl talks are over and done with, but there's a late thought. Here's a late thought. What about Brian Westbrook? He's been playing a lot better than in recent years, has balanced the Eagles' offense to help Garcia, and he's in the NFC. Thanks for putting up with stupid emailers for free. Well, since you mentioned stupid emailers, let's take the Westbrook thing first. Brian Westbrook has been a phenomenal player for 3 years now. He's been to the Pro Bowl before, if I'm not mistaken, hasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. I'll look it up as you guys.
But who are the running backs this year? Frank Gore.
He definitely has a case. He definitely has a case that he can go to the. I mean, it's hard because he's one of those guys that catches. He's going to be like Reggie
Jackson's
Bush.
Jackson's probably in it.
You look at his rushing yards. He has always around 1,000, but then you go to his receiving yards.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that is almost like a tweener position because of the style of play.
And Bush
so.
Will have the same, but Bush will go to the Pro Bowl because he's Reggie Bush.
So. Right. Right, Brian Westbrook is a poor man's Reggie Bush in terms of marketing and
right.
name and flash and all that.
No, he's a very good player, and he has helped Garcia in that offense. But and they've run the ball more since Garcia's gotten there. Maybe they,
right.
you know, I think Andy Reid likes to throw it a little bit too much with McNabb. But they have been running the ball better. What do you guys think about Brady? Do you think he's put the team on his back, or do you think it's
I don't know about put it on his back. I think you have to praise him because of the fact that he has no weapons and all the changes they've had to go through on offense. I mean, I could see how he would get frustrated this year. I mean, they bring in Doug Gabriel, and he develops a relationship. They're making plays, and then they take him away for whatever reason. And I don't think that's an easy thing to do, to invest your time and try to get on the same page as the guy, and then they just take him away. So I don't think he's had a great year, but I think for what he's had around him, he probably has had a great year mm-hmm. in terms of that. And, you know, he just talked about it at the end of his press conference, saying how, kind of laughing, he said, at the beginning of the year, we were struggling to complete 50% of our passes. Now we're up around 62%. We've definitely come together, and we feel like we're at the point where we can actually put some pressure on defenses by doing something rather than just sort of trying to stay afloat on offense. And I found that interesting. I won't criticize him. You know, in the beginning of the year, a lot of fans wanted to criticize him. I just think for what he's done in this league and what you see on a weekly basis in terms of toughness, finding the open receiver, making decisions, I'm sorry, but Tom Brady's going to be pretty low on my list of who I'm criticizing if things don't go right.
Yeah, well, we were criticizing the receivers, and people wanted to criticize Brady.
Right.
And we said, who do you trust more, Tom Brady or Doug Gabriel?
Right.
Well, apparently Belichick trusted Tom Brady more.
Right. Al Davis answered that for you.
Yeah, no, I agree.
What do you got, Paul?
Well, it's kind of vague. It says that in 2004...
He kind of made the Pro Bowl.
Well, it says made his first trip to... They listed career highlights as a bunch of bullet points. There's like 50 of them. Made his first trip to the Pro Bowl in 2004 as an alternate.
So he didn't go as the first thing, but somebody didn't go...
But I'm wondering if he went and that counts, or if he was just named an alternate that year, number one.
No, if they put he made a trip to the Pro Bowl, he made the trip. That's
and they
a trip.
Also say made his first trip. But didn't say anything about 2005. So I don't know if he went last year.
Therefore, I know, vague. I know some people say he's been screwed quite a bit because he hasn't gotten in. So
so I don't really know.
Yeah, I think he's a tweener kind of guy. I think he gets screwed by that.
Since 2003, no other NFL running back has recorded more receiving yards and has a better yards per touch average, 5.9.
Give us his numbers for the past couple of years. Just like
sure.
rushing yards.
Let's see, 2005, well, he didn't go to the Pro Bowl last year. He must have been
banged up. He was hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was definitely hurt.
617 yards, 4-yard average, 616 yards on 61 receptions, 10-yard average, okay. with 7 total touchdowns.
What was the
2004, 812 rushing yards, 4.6 per carry, 73 for 703 receptions with 9 touchdowns altogether. So he's been a very productive guy.
Yeah.
But a tweener, he's not going to have
yeah, he doesn't
1,200
have,
yards rushing.
Like Tom said, he doesn't have the ton of yards rushing or receiving, but,
right.
you know, kind of like a poor man's LT.
That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But now you got other guys that are doing the same thing. I mean, Steven Jackson has 100 catches.
Well, his is really impressive because he's one of the league leaders in rushing, and then he's catching
right.
all these passes. I wonder now, was it still good? for the Cowboys not to take him and take Julius Jones? Just wondering, because I know Cowboy fans like to say how they screwed Buffalo. How's J.P. Lawsman doing? Because I remember when they were laughing, saying, oh, they got J.P. Lawsman. What did you get? Because you could have had Steven Jackson. I'm just pointing it out. Speaking of Jacksons, Todd wants to talk about one that stinks. I can't listen online, so sorry if this was already said. Is it safe to say, call Chad Jackson a bust, or are we still going to say that his hammy attitude or whatever other excuse we want to make is hindering him? I ask because Bam freaking Childress caught two passes for positive gains against Jacksonville, yet Jackson only manages one catch for minus 2 yards. Bam freaking Childress, people, outperformed Chad all hype Jackson. That's Todd from Jacksonville, Florida.
Plus, it was in Jacksonville. He should have had a big game in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't call him a bust yet, only because it's his first year, not because of a hamstring or an attitude problem. Those are things that could eventually lead him to be
right.
a bust.
Right.
I want to see what happens, and I can already know what's going to happen this whole offseason. He's going to be one of those targeted guys. Bill, did he make the big jump from year one to year two?
Tom will be writing that story on the website at some point.
Well, I know. I'm not saying.
There's no doubt about that.
I'm just going to get tired of.
I don't like the sounds of that.
That's sophomore sensation in the works, Chad Jackson.
That's going to be one of those huge things that everybody's looking at.
I was looking through my files, and the last thing I wrote for the web that wasn't AskPFW was the kickoff gala. And I thought to myself, man, remember how long ago that was? Now Kyle's leaving, and I got to go back to the web. Oh, man.
But we do have the under over of 3 years length of Chad.
Yeah,
Jackson's career.
If I had to venture a guess, gun to my head, I'm saying bust because I don't like the things that I see.
How many
it's not talents? I don't like what I see.
I heard something this weekend. I hear that he regularly complains about the shoes that he has to wear.
what kind of shoes?
Like the
Nike versus
they have to. Something happened where he whatever cleats he has to wear, he complains about it regularly. So you take just that. I mean, we don't know everything that goes on, but if he's complaining about what cleats he has to wear, who knows?
Still say they're trying to break him.
You're probably right.
Because he sees Chad Johnson and says, well, I can do that. No, you can't. When you have back-to-back Pro Bowl seasons and 100 catches and 1,000 yards and touchdowns, okay, maybe you can pop off a little bit and start getting the Chad Johnson treatment. But right now, you have, 11 for 100 yards or something total on the season?
I don't know how many yards.
It's going 11. Backwards
11
in yardage.
Right. Two less than he had entering the game.
And let's be honest here. When Tom Brady is your quarterback, and you're spreading teams out with four and five receivers, and you have 10 receptions, that's a terrible freaking year. I don't care if he's going to be a bust or what. If you have any kind of talent whatsoever, and you got this guy throwing you the football, and you can only manage 10 catches, that's terrible.
Plus, the comments I was just talking about when he's discussing the offense, he started to talk about playmakers, and he mentioned Maroney and Caldwell, paused for a second, and said, now we got Bam Childress and Kelvin Kite, Troy Brown, Chad Jackson when he's on the field.
That's how he said it?
Yeah.
That's telling.
And that's the second time he's done that.
Yep.
That's the second time he said that.
There's no doubt in my mind, right now, Tom Brady, not a big Chad Jackson fan. Because he's like us. He probably sees the physical and says,
right,
this guy could be helping me out if he would get it.
And, I mean, hey, that's not us saying it. That's Tom Brady saying it. So.
That's right. But don't ask about it, because then he'll say, I said that? I never said that.
Luis.
Soho?
Number 39 is his title. Hi, guys. Luis in Tampa. Guys, can you tell me why Maroney gets less carries than Dillon? Don't get me wrong. I love Dillon, but he don't scare the D like Maroney does. I notice the D plays real close to the line when Maroney's in the backfield. That means play action. Also, I think the wide receivers are bad, but I think the offensive play calling is worse. They need better schemes. Listen, Luis, you gotta put periods in capital letters.
Did this come before the game?
No, it just came at 1:30.
Because I don't know how anybody could be upset about the game plan based on this week.
Boston Globe told me how great it was.
But you put 24 points up on a defense
that allowed nine.
That allowed nine in seven previous home games. I mean, you could say what you want about Jacksonville, but that's a pretty good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh yeah, especially at home.
And there was nothing fluky about the points the Patriots put up. They were drives.
They didn't get any balls at like the 5-yard line.
Right. No turnovers.
Real plays.
No turnovers and no, you know, free 50 yards here on a fluke play. It was all drives. They moved the ball consistently well, in my opinion, throughout the game.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Maroney thing right now is, I don't think he's 100%.
No. Oh,
so
no.
I think, especially heading into the postseason when you're in the last 2 weeks before the postseason, you're not looking to get him banged up by giving him the ball 25 times. Now, maybe in the postseason, if you think you need that to win, maybe. But right now, I think the ribs are still an issue.
And I agree with Paul. I think we're going to run the ball a lot this week, but I think we're going to hear a lot of from Heath Evans. It's going to be the guy in the second half who's going to be getting a lot of carries against that Titans defense.
It's going to be driving us nuts when it's and then wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah.
Oh, that's true. We got
coming in different speakers.
I never even thought of that.
What wins, a or wah-wah?
We have a forward from our webmaster, Chris Ferreira. This is from, I don't know. That's just a forward. Hi, guys. I think for us to beat Denver, we need to run on them. My question is, do you think that O'Callaghan will play, Josh?
No.
No. I don't.
You think it matters?
No.
No. I don't.
Thanks, Chris, for I think forwarding that.
I think Nick Kazier
is doing a hell of a job up there.
I think Nick Kazier is the starting right tackle, and if he hadn't been injured coming into training camp, Ryan O'Callaghan would have been
right,
an anonymous fifth-round pick who had yet to see the field.
And he might still remember his middle name.
That's true, too.
Because I think he's had some head issues that could be long-term. Speculation, by the way.
Now, is John Rook coming in today, Gary? He's coming. Okay, it's web radio at patriots.com.
Probably about 10 minutes from now.
508
playing the role of Fred Kirsch today was Tom Caselli running out of emails with 12 minutes to go in the program.
I'd rather run out of them than not have them read. I'm a man of the people. I believe they should all be read on the air.
It's Andy Hart is the man of the people.
Yeah, I'm the man of the people.
You're a fake man of the people. I've seen your house. He's no man of the people. Trust me. I'm the one living in the slums. I'm a man amongst the people.
I was the one who had to have my pregnant wife help me push my car out of the way when it wouldn't start yesterday. In a puddle, or a mud bath, as you called it.
Yeah, that was a mud bath. You got to get that thing paved.
I got a lot of things I got to get done. The first thing I need to do is get the season to end so I can do some of these things.
That's a Fred Kirsch. He doesn't care what's in your bank account or anything. He'll just say, you got to get that driveway paved.
By the way, you know what that would cost probably? We might be talking like $30,000 to have that paved. So
well,
there's virtually no chance
Fred
of that
spends
being paved.
That on a vacuum.
And a BB gun.
Well, you got to see this thing, the way it picks up dirt.
Yeah.
It's, Fred did get the – that's so funny. He got that BB gun for Christmas. And you know why? I can just imagine how happy he was when he opened it, too.
Am I the only one that would have, like, absolutely no desire to have a BB gun?
Why would you want a BB gun?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If I had it, I would probably screw around with it. But when I opened it, I'd be like, was this for Connor? Did you mix up the name tags here or –
I mean, I understand it's the BB gun from A Christmas Story, so maybe that's kind of cool, but I wouldn't be, like, shooting it.
But is he, like, an exceptional Christmas Story fan?
I don't know. I think he's weird.
Oh, there's no question. But there's a lot of other weird gifts you could have got him than the red. They're really so rich where they're at the bottom of the pile, like, scrounging for things to get him, and she was flipping through a catalog, and it said the Red Ryder BB gun, and she ordered it.
He probably got that in his stocking.
Right.
Well, one thing he didn't get is a new car. We know that. It's funny because Fred, you know, he gets all this stuff and everything and all this, but he won't get a new car.
Right.
So that's the weird thing about Fred. One of the many.
He takes great exception to being termed rich as well.
By the way, Tom's taking all the shots, but it's still going to be my fault when we get upstairs.
Well, you've taken some shots.
And as Fred always says, you kind of lead me on. You know, you get
me
riled.
It's always my fault.
So Josh from Arlington chimes in. He says, since you are running out, going back to
how'd you tell?
Going back to what you were discussing earlier, Garrard's fumble was not the same as Brady's tuck rule. There is an open, empty hand rule where if the hand is coming forward after the ball has already been dislodged but still in the hand, then it is not a forward pass or tuck, and despite the arm movement, will still be ruled a fumble. Brady made a quick pump fake motion and was pulling the ball down to cover up when Woodson whacked it. It had not reached his belly, completion of downward motion, before it was dislodged. Sunday, Green dislodged the ball when knocking Garrard's arm forward, so I guess that is about as close as you can get before the tuck would kick in. I think they made the distinction based upon the moment the ball began to come out of his hand. And that's Josh.
See, they were both fumbles.
I didn't think it was a tuck rule. I thought it was an incomplete pass. I thought that, is it Reggie Williams, number 11? I thought the receiver was clear that he was trying to throw it to. I thought it was an incomplete pass. I thought they got that wrong.
I thought it was a fumble, as I thought Brady's was.
Yeah, I mean, all these years I've always thought Brady's, you can come up with any kind of technical mumbo-jumbo you want, but if you watch football for 20 years, it's a fumble.
I thought Brady's was a fumble, yeah, no question, and I thought this was an incomplete pass. That's why I think the tuck rule is stupid. Just look at it and say whether you think it's an incomplete pass or a fumble. Don't give me any, well, the palm was open and pointed down but not up and at a 35-degree angle to his sternum.
You can't ask the referee to do that, but you can ask him to run 55 yards downfield and determine whether or not the arm bar that the defensive back put out impeded the wide receiver from making a catch and then just in turn hand a team 55 yards.
Right.
That can be a judgment call. That's no problem.
Or we let the guy run up the sideline and tell me where the punt went out of bounds, 50 yards above the sideline.
Another favorite.
I'll tell you what, every time I look up, this Cutler's throwing darts.
Yeah.
Oh, this must be that 99-yard drive because I saw the highlights. It was very impressive.
Drop pass right there. Yeah, so it looks like the Bengals are out. The teams with the best chance to get in, to me, it would be the Bengals and the Titans are the next in line. Is that's correct, I believe?
If the Jets and Broncos don't.
Yeah, one of those two don't get in. Because the Bengals get in with a win and a Jets loss.
If one of those loses, is one in over everybody else? Or if, like, the Broncos lose, it's one team, and if the Jets lose, it's another team?
It says Cincinnati clinches playoff berth one. Cincinnati win and Jets loss. So if the Jets lose,
Cincy's in?
And Cincinnati wins, they're in.
Now, what if the Jets win and Denver loses? Who's in?
Then you're looking more at Tennessee. Because
what if they lose to the Patriots?
If Tennessee wins...
Obviously, they're out.
If Tennessee wins...
don't need to discuss what happens if the teams that are already out of the playoffs, as of now, if they lose, they don't jump over anybody.
The problem is that the next team in line would be the Bengals. After that, you get really complicated. Because for Tennessee to win, they not only need Cincinnati and Denver to lose, they need Kansas City to win.
Who's Kansas City playing?
Jacksonville. Who's next, and then Kansas City's after them.
Jacksonville jumps Tennessee with a win, basically, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
They must have a...
But Tennessee needs Denver to lose, and Jacksonville needs the Jets to lose. It's all tied up in semantics. And... I know this. It says, Chargers clinch home field advantage with San Diego win or Baltimore loss. That's about as simple as it gets at this point in the season.
Well... We'll go to the NFC. The Bears have home field advantage.
Yes, they do.
I like that one.
Well, that's the other thing, too.
And Detroit has been eliminated. Detroit has been eliminated.
Everybody's going down, like, all the things. Well, I'd rather have three because then you play Baltimore instead of San Diego. Well, Baltimore could end up being one.
Right.
And San Diego could be two.
I wouldn't think about it.
So, Raiders, Lions, who's getting that first pick?
Do they have the same record?
Yeah, they both have two wins.
And who are they playing? The Jets are going to beat the Raiders, so who are the Lions playing?
Who do the Lions? Oh, the Cowboys.
Who do you take with the first pick?
I think it's going to be Quinn.
Boy, poor Lions or poor Raiders are going to set themselves back another 6 years because he stinks. He's Jeff Garcia in the pros.
Leading his team to the Super Bowl?
He really is amazing.
What? I make decisions on people.
I don't think he's that great either, but I don't see what you would say he stinks
they're playing
for. He's
well,
a reasonably
though.
Talented guy.
I mean, they're
he went to three Pro Bowls.
The team's playing well.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Quinn now.
I'm talking about Jeff Garcia.
No. Yeah, he should be in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
It's not like I'm saying he never deserved to get to
the
NFL.
As many Pro Bowls
league.
As Tom Brady.
Are you going to tell me he's as good as Tom Brady?
No, I'm just saying he doesn't stink.
Been to more Pro Bowls than Drew Bledsoe.
No, he hasn't.
Oh. How many Pro Bowls?
Four.
Pro Bowls? Really? Wow.
Should have been five.
Boy, did he steal those.
Yeah, when you throw for 4,500 yards, they give you those undeserved Pro Bowl invitations.
Did you see the little thing in ESPN, the magazine they did with all the guys in the wheelchairs?
I've been talking to you about it for like 2 weeks and waiting for you to read it.
It was very funny.
That's where you read the Zeus thing, too.
It was very, very funny.
I told you that.
Very well done. They had like...
It was very clever.
They go, Kurt Warner fumbled his Mountain Dew.
My favorite one was the Brunel one. No, Mark, no one cares about your Pro Bowl MVP.
Have you ever seen a real Pro Bowl MVP? And he said, I kind of agree with him, though, on the one thing. I disregard him because he's left-handed.
Why disregard him because he's left-handed?
I think all left-handed quarterbacks stink.
Steve Young was left-handed.
Yeah. And I
overrated.
I would maintain my stance. Most overrated quarterback ever.
Okay, Rodrigo's mad.
At who? Did I do anything?
Probably me.
You call me a stupid emailer, then continue to make my point. Wow, anyway, I want Denver because of the unproven quarterback and their running game isn't really getting it done. No, you said that.
That would be Tom then.
You said,
you said
Brian Westbrook is finally having a good year. Like he hasn't had good years in the past. Brian Westbrook's one of the most respected offensive players in the NFL.
To ever come out of the Atlantic 10.
So there's your wow.
Paul loves him.
Brian Westbrook could play, my man.
Yes, I know.
We got
unlike most people in that stupid league you follow.
I'm telling you, you give me one season, Andy Hart, I'll convert you.
Josh actually has Josh has some good information.
Okay, go.
To the earlier emailer's point, FoxSports.com is reporting that Deion Branch has 6 drops in the last 2 games. Where the hell are the rest of the listeners?
Huh? I don't know.
Six drops characterizes a bad year.
In the last 2 games, so that's not a good stretch.
No. I saw T.O. drop 6 on Monday.
So
T.O. drops 6 in any given quarter.
No, but plus I think people got to remember something.
I'm shocked
passes.
Let's
talk about something here. Chad Jackson, we're giving him 6 years to learn an offense. Deion Branch is learning a new offense in Seattle, too. He's just supposed to pick it up right away in 2 seconds, and he's having a pretty good year.
You're wrong.
Why?
Because you have to look at it from the Patriots' perspective. That's all it is. All that counts.
6 years from now, we'll be hearing that, Chad Jackson, he's coming along.
Right. Because he has 6 drops in the last 2 games. That doesn't mean that he would have probably about 85 catches if he was on the Patriots this year, right?
Yeah, bottom line is, if Deion Branch was on this team, they'd be a much stronger Super Bowl contender than they are right now.
Bottom line is, he could walk in naked with one hand tied behind his back, and he's the best receiver on this team.
Speaking of naked with one hand behind his back,
John Rooks is back from his Christmas in Mexico.
Josh, we're not shooting you. Josh said don't shoot the messenger.
Absolutely, and we're not shooting
you.
I thank you for the information because I knew that he had a tough game Sunday, but evidently he had a tough game the previous Thursday.
Rook, where the hell were you about 10 minutes ago? We're dying over here.
Sorry.
Jeez.
Tom made the rookie mistake of rifling through all the emails.
I try to get to everybody's email.
What are you going to learn to start pacing yourself?
Because I try to get to everyone's email. If they're nice enough to email, and I'm not
I agree, but you still have to pace yourself.
I'm not like Fred Kirsch, who said to us, I don't read so-and-so's emails.
You lying your ass off.
I try to get to everybody.
Well, but here's the thing. I tell everybody the very same thing, but you still have to kind of like judge the time that you have left in the show. And, plus, I would not be offended if you actually left an email or two for, the following show. I promise you'll get to those.
Plus, you have guests. You don't need to fill out a show. You got plenty
of... Never.
Baxter.
Never. That's right. What's happening? How was your Christmas?
Christmas.
It was all right.
It was all right.
Mine was fantastic.
You!
What is... yeah, that's right. He was with us last week. He'll be with us again tomorrow.
He's dead this week?
But not yet.
Is he no longer with us?
I actually was trying to think coming in, and I'm sure this is probably a fairly typical question. You probably even talked about it a little bit. But just because they can't do any better than a 3 or 4 spot in the playoffs, how important is this Sunday's game?
Yeah.
Not very.
We don't think
in the overall scheme of things? I mean, should they play all the regulars? Should they treat this one like they would treat any other game?
I don't have the answer to that question, but I've said all along, the decision I would make as the head coach would only involve this team. Not its playoff seeding, not who we want to play. It would involve, what do I need to do to have Lawrence Maroney, Tom Brady, Rishi Caldwell, Ben Watson, Vince, to have them ready to play a week later in the postseason? Whatever it is, I think I need to do to get to that.
Would this be like a glorified preseason game?
Could be.
In other words, where you maybe play a half?
Could be. That's what I think. Very well could
That's
be.
That's how I feel about it. That's what he basically did last year. They didn't even really play a whole half. But I don't think there's anything. Everybody kind of speculated they were trying to set it up so they could play whoever, I don't think there's one of those this year. First of all, you made the point. From 1, 2, 5, 6, no one's locked in.
No.
So there's no way you can say, I'm going to lose this game because I want X. Because there's no way of knowing what X is.
No way of knowing what X is.
Right.
You do know that you're going to be a 3 or 4.
That's all you know.
That's all you know.
And you can't control who you're going to play. You can't control who you might play if you win and play in the second round.
Nope.
None of that. So...
Is there a thought, and again, this is something I'm gonna ask our listeners for the next program as well, but is there a thought that by winning you still might be able to improve your playoff lot by potentially, again, we don't really know who they're going to play, but by potentially maybe if you win the first game and you get by the second game, then you could actually host an AFC game?
That would be the only thing that you would want three for.
You would want the three because then you would have a better mathematical chance to host here.
Right.
For an AFC Championship game.
But that's a long way down the road.
It's a long way down the road.
Making decisions.
That's correct. And you would still need upsets.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Not only you'd have to upset someone, but there would have to be upsets elsewhere to make sure that.
Right. Right. So I don't know. I'm just kind of trying to weigh that out a little bit back and forth, and that'll be something we'll talk a little bit about today and see what else is going on.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, we got nothing for you.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, pizza.
If you want some, there's some cheese pizza left.
Thank you very much. Yeah, today was pizza day.
And congratulations on your boy David Thomas's little coming up
party. You like that? He can play a little still, can't he?
We've all been very big fans, but evidently none bigger than Tom, who has gotten drawn the admiration
of
Patriots Nation.
To the blog on draft day where I said he'd be a future Pro Bowler. You can go back and check.
Go back and check that a little bit.
Anyway,
to have the ball thrown in his direction a few times in order to catch it.
Well, he was clearly ready for it.
But the layout catch for the touchdown was spectacular.
Tremendous.
We love David Thomas.
Should I expect more of those 36-yard rumbles down the sideline where he's running through people?
I don't see any reason.
Is that part of his game?
He did that at Texas.
Okay.
He did that at Texas. Plus, he also laid out quite a bit for the throws down the field. I mean, Vince Young, whenever he would lay one out there, he'd go get it.
So we should re-sign Daniel Graham, trade Ben Watson, and have Graham and Thomas as the starting tight ends.
I agree.
I would think that would probably be a good move. If Watson especially proves to be somewhat injury-prone as he may be, and because...
Fumble-prone
as he may be, although Graham has also been,
I'll keep him in the blocks, send Thomas out to catch.
I guess it really depends what specifically you want out of your tight ends. And to me, David Thomas gives you the best of everything that you want of your tight end for this system.
Well, if he can do those 36-yard, that kind of a play, where he's making plays with his legs a little bit too and running downfield, then I'll take him because his hands are tremendous.
Right.
That's what I love about New England. Guys become heroes. It takes them quite a long time around here. We got Ben Watson on the trading block.
That's right. What have you done for me lately?
So what do you do this week? Who do you root for?
I root for Vince. Particularly good game. Gary needs to go, I guess.
All right.
Vince needs to have a good game, but the Patriots need to win.
That's what I'm rooting for.
One quick note.
Drew Bledsoe theory all over again.
ESPN just reported Cleo Lemon starting at quarterback for the Dolphins, so that's a 4 seed for the Patriots. That's all for today. We'll be back on Thursday.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown!